of the hashgacha process and what goes on. Just a brief introduction. Basically, the shir is going to be pasuk by pasuk. Just the general guidelines of what we're looking for when we go through the Megillah. So, the essence of what the Megillah is all about is hinted to in its name. We refer to it as Megillas Esther. The Lashon, we see right away, Megillah is a Lashon Megalah, Giloy. Esther is a Lashon of Hester, is something that's hidden. So it's revealing something that's hidden. In other words, the whole essence of the Megillah is that Hashem's name is not mentioned explicitly in the Megillah, and yet the entire Megillah from beginning to end is full of Giluyim of Hashem's Hashkacha Pratis in the world. That's the nature of the Megillah, is that it could be read Ki'ilu superficially as just chance events that happen to occur, but anyone who is reading it with a sensitive eye reveals the Hashkacha Pratis going on behind the scenes in everything that happens in the Megillah. The Gra speaks out this Yesod in the second, his Pirush on the second Pasuk. He points out it specifically, he says in the first Prakim that seem to be discussing the glory of Achashverosh and all of the elaborate details about his parties, that he says, what does all this have to do with Kisvei HaKodesh? How is this part of Torah? So the Lashon of the Gra, he says, Akshebekol Pasuk Upasuk Humisaper Godol Hanes. He says, in every single Pasuk, he says, if you look carefully through the Megillah, that every Pasuk is really coming to reveal the greatness of the Nes that went on. And what type of Nes? So he says, Umashikazav Esther Minat Torah Minayin. The Gemara in Megillah asks, Esther Minat Torah Minayin, where's the Makor in the Torah, the remez in the Torah to the Tekufa of Esther? So the Pasuk says, Pirish. So what are we looking for? Esther Minat Torah Minayin, Pirish, Hechan Merumas, Shafilu Behester Panim, Dehainu Begalus, Osevanu Nisim, Neis Gadol Kazeh. That the question was, where do we see a remez in the Torah? We know that in the Torah that there are nisim of Yitzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf and all kinds of nisim guluyim, but where do we see that even in time of Galus where the Shechina is not revealed, and still Hashem does great nisim for Klal Yisrael? So the answer the Gemara says, Amru Dichsi Va'anochi Hastir Astir Panai Bayom Ahu. That in the pasuk that says that when Klal Yisrael is angry with the Klal Yisrael kilu and turns away from Hashem, from Klal Yisrael, that I'll hide my face from Klal Yisrael. Pirush afil b'shas Hester panim tishlach es Esther. That their gufa in the pasuk that tells us that there's going to be time of Golus and time of Hester panim, their gufa Hashem reveals us that there's also going to be an Esther, that Hashem is going to set up the refuah for Klal Yisrael to redeem Klal Yisrael even in the most bleak circumstances. The second hakdama is that we're going to see, besides seeing the Hashkacha Pratis in the Megillah, we're also going to see a theme in the Megillah of the Nahafochu, like the Lashon of the Megillah, Nahafochu, that it's turned around. Everything's turned upside down. Not just that the Hashkacha comes out that Klal Yisrael is saved, but that specifically the Hashkacha works in such a way that everything that looked like it was going to be bad turns out to be good. And everything that the Rishayim plot against us turns backfires against them. And this is expressing a very essential yesod in Yiddishkeit, and that's a yesod of Achdus Hashem. It's the Nahafochu is a giloy that Hashem's Achdus is absolute, that even things that look like they're a stira ki'ilu to Hashem's Hashkacha, ki'ilu, there's a force working against giloy kavod shemayim in the world. When Hashem reveals that even that was just being manipulated according to the master plan to bring about the Hatzal of Klal Yisrael, so that's the greatest giloy, that Hashem's hanhaga is complete yichud, that Hashem is all-powerful and in control of everything that goes on in the world. The Sifzei Chaim explains, based on this, he says that that's why it says Megillas Esther, that you, in Yemos Mashiach, that all the other Svarim of Navi, Nevi'im and Ksuvim are going to be batel, except for the Chamishei Chumshei Torah, and Megillas Esther. So the Sif Zeh Chaim explains that there's a special aspect of Megillas Esther that specifically relates to the final Geula Lasi Lava, because the final Geula, the Das Tmunos explains that the Iker Giloy that's going to come in Lasi Lava will be the Giloy of Yichud Hashem Yisbarach, the revelation that everything that we went through throughout history, that all of the things that looked like they were to our detriment were really set in place by Hashem to bring about the ultimate redemption of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, Davka, Megillas Esther is shayach to the Tekufa of Lasi Lava, because it's like a microcosm. It was the original Giloy of this Midah of Hashem's Yichud, and how even things that look bad for Klal Yisrael are really for our good. Okay, so those are the two fundamental yesodas that we're going to look for going through the Megillah, is the Hashkacha B'toch HaHester and the Midah of the Nafochu. Okay, so the Megillah begins. Vayehi bimei Achashverosh, hu Achashverosh hamoed, mehodu v'ad kush, sheva v'asrim u'mea medina. Okay, so it happened in the days of Achashverosh. The word Vayehi, Chazal Darshan, always implies a tzara for Klal Yisrael. It's a lashon of vai, woe. So from the very beginning, we're going to see that the first parak, it starts talking about the party of Achashverosh. It doesn't seem like the tzara has started yet, but in fact, Chazal say that the fact that Klal Yisrael was nena from Suda of Achashverosh was itself the cause of the gzeira against Klal Yisrael. And therefore, from the very beginning of the Megillah, it starts vayihi, that from the beginning, that it's describing the troubles of Klal Yisrael. Okay, the pasuk seems very very strange. Bimei Achashverosh, who Achashverosh? He was Achashverosh. What does that mean? We just said he's Achashverosh. Who else is he? So what the pshat in the pasuk is that Achashverosh was a standard name that was used for royalty in Paras Umadai, just like there's George the Fifth and George the Eighth and George the Ninth. So there were a lot of Achashveroshes. So it's specifying Bimei Achashverosh, who Achashverosh hamoeth mehodu v'ad kush. It was the Achashverosh who was the melech over from Hodu to Kush, Sheva v'asrim u'mea medina, which Chazal say was the entire world, that he was the only melech of Paras Umadai who his malchus spread over the entire world. So even though there were other Achashveroshes, it's identifying which one he was. Okay. Now, what does it mean mehodu v'ad kush? So the Gemara brings two pshatim. One says that Hodu and Kush were on two opposite ends of the world, and it was Chazal, and the pasuk is telling us that he ruled over the entire world. The other opinion of Chazal is that they were right next to each other, and therefore it's telling us that he ruled with the same authority over the far ends of the world as he ruled over the two countries that were adjacent to each other. Okay. Now, I heard this a long time ago. I thought it was just a cute shot, but I'm almost sure it's brought by the Rishonim already in the Torah's time. They bring the Mari Nechemyash. Explains that now that we know that the world is round, so that means that the two opinions don't have to be arguing, don't have to be contradictory. That if you look at it, that they're right next to each other, and on the other hand, if you would walk all the way around the world, you would come back and hit the other one. So both Divrei Chazal can both be true simultaneously. That in fact they are. There are two adjacent cities, which, by the nature of the fact that he ruled over the entire world, they were also the two ends of his malchus going from one end to the other. Bayamim ahem, kishavas hamelach Achashverosh al kisei malchuso asher b'shushan abira. In those days when he sat on his throne, which was in Shushan Abira. Okay, we're going to see the next pasuk says b'shnas shalosh l'malcho. Okay, in the third year of his malchus. So what was he doing for the first 3 years? He was standing up, right? He didn't have a throne to sit on for 3 years. So the Gra explains that there was a whole story going on with this throne, that he wanted to emulate the throne of Shlomo HaMelech. We're going to see that a big inyan in Achashverosh's Malchus was that he felt that he was had vanquished the Jews, that the Jews weren't going to return to their days of glory, and therefore he was showing off the fact that he had taken over the kavod of Klal Yisrael. So he wanted to make a throne that was patterned after the throne of Shlomo HaMelech. The Gra explains, the pasuk says, Al kisei malchus, so asher b'shushan abira. He sat on the kisei malchus, which was in Shushan Abira. So the Gra explains that this throne was such an ornate, such a fancy throne, that he needed special craftsmen to make the throne. And the craftsmen who could do this lived in Shushan. So Shushan wasn't originally the capital city of Paras U'Madai, but they built him this enormous throne in Shushan, and they didn't have any way of transporting it to the capital city. So therefore he transferred the entire capital to Shushan, because that's where his chair was. Okay, and the Gra already sets up that this was the first step of the Hashgacha Pratis, that Hashem brought Ahasuerus to Shushan, where Esther was, which was going to set up the seeds for the Hatzalah of Klal Yisrael. Okay, so even from the very beginning, we start talking about the glory of Ahasuerus, his ornate throne, and it's already setting up the seeds for the Gula. Yeah?
Why did it make difference where Esther was from? Because
they
had sources from
the world. Because they found it from other places also. Interesting question. Lamaisa, we're going to see that she was trying very hard to hide out from him. So it could be that if it wasn't right under his nose, that they wouldn't have managed to discover. Interesting, that's how the Gra says it. Okay, so Pasuk Gimel Vishnas Shalosh L'Malcho. So in this third year of his Malchus, when his Kisei had been established, Asa Mishtel L'Chol Sarav Avadav, he made a great feast for all of his ministers and his servants, Chel Paras U'Madai Hapartamim V'Sarei HaMedinos L'Fano, for the soldiers of Paras U'Madai and the nobles and the rulers of each country that came in front of him. Okay, what was the nature of this party? Why was he having this huge celebration? So Chazal explained that he had made a cheshbon of the 70 years that the nevuah had been given, that Klal Yisrael was going to be in Gullus for 70 years, and therefore when he made a cheshbon that the 70 years had elapsed according to his calculations, he felt that the only power that could have overcome him was Klal Yisrael, and once they had been subjugated, that their nevuah hadn't been fulfilled, and they hadn't gone back after 70 years, so now he felt confident in his malchus, and he was celebrating that event. Okay, we're going to see throughout the celebration hints to the idea that was the essence of what the celebration was, that it was celebrating the downfall of Israel, that they hadn't been redeemed according to his calculations. Okay, and based on that, we're going to understand the severity when we say that Klal Yisrael was Nana from that Suda, even though we're going to see that he made sure to give them glatt kosher TV dinners that were double wrapped and whatever. But Lamaisa, the whole nature of the party was celebrating the downfall of Klal Yisrael, and therefore it clearly was not in the proper ruach for Klal Yisrael to participate. The emphasis, the Gruff points out, that the order of his invited guests was first of all the soldiers and then the noblemen. Okay, that seems like a strange order of inviting your guests. So the Gra explains that Ahasuerus was not naturally born into the Malchus. That Ahasuerus, we're going to see later, was a lowly stable boy. He was just a servant in the royal house, and he by force had made a coup and taken over the Malchus. So therefore, his main support came from the army. In other words, he wasn't a diplomat. He had taken the army, the Malchus by force, and therefore the main people that he wanted to stay on their good side was the soldiers. Baharoso as Osher Kvod Malchuso, the as Yikar Tiferes Kiduwaso, and the whole point of this party was to show the kavod, the glory of his Malchus, and the grandeur and the beauty of his greatness. Yamim Ravim Shmonim Umaas Yom, 180 days, half a year, they celebrated this party. Okay, we see the remez that what he was showing off was the kavod and tiferes, right? We just had in the Parshas Tetzaveh that the big day kohen gadol were lekavod ul tiferes. So this is being Maramis, that he dressed up in the big day kohen gadol. Again, this is part of the mockery that he was making of Klal Yisrael, that he was showing that Klal Yisrael would not go back out of Golus, and therefore he was mocking them by wearing the begadim of the kohen gadol. ובמרוס הימים האלה, עשה המלך לכל העם הנמצאים בשושן הבירה, that when he had finished this half a year of parties, he made another party for the local residents of Shushan HaBira, Limigadol Vaad Katon, from the great people, even the small people, Mishta Shivas Yamim, another 7 days, the Chatzar Ginas Bitan HaMelech, in the courtyard of the gardens of the Bitan, is like a veranda, like an outside house of the king. Okay, so here he, again, the whole point was to solidify his malchus, so he, besides being, having all of the faraway malchus represented, that one of the main source of his stability comes from the local residents. So even the simple people that lived there in the city were essential to the stability of his malchus, and therefore he wanted to find favor in their eyes by having a special party for them. The Gra points out a remez that he was having his party in the chatzer of the Gina of the Bisan, in other words, in the externality of the externality. It wasn't, not only wasn't in the palace, it was in the entrance to the gardens. So he says that this is a remez to Rishayim, that they enjoy the pleasures of Olam Hazeh. Like the Misal Sharm says, that this world is a prose door to Olam Haba. So they're having all of their hana and enjoying themselves in the chatzer. Out in the chatzer, they're missing the whole ikar of what the purpose of the world was. We'll see also, we're going to see the relationship between him and Vashti, that we see that he's out in the chatzer. We're going to see what's going on in the actual palace. Chur karpasu tcheles, achuz b'chav levutz, v'argaman. Okay, so now it describes the tapestries. It says hangings of different types of fancy cloth, achuz b'chav levutz, that they were supported by ropes of linen, v'argaman, in purple linen, alglile kesef amudei sheish, supported by pillars of silver and marble, mito zav v'chesef, the beds were made out of gold and silver, alritzvas bad v'sheish v'dar v'sacharis, and the floor was made of all kinds of different fancy marble. Okay, the basic picture of what's going on here, we know that they used to recline on beds when they would eat, right? They would eat their meal reclining on beds. So the way the Gra explains what this is describing is that they would have these pillars, and from the pillars they would suspend ropes, and on that they would have like tapestries that would hang kind of like hammocks. So they would be lying on the beds and reclining into these hammock type things. And it's describing how fancy that everything was made of marble and gold and silver and fancy materials. Vashkos b'chlei zahav, and the drinks were served in golden vessels, v'kelim mikelim shonim, and different vessels. The simple pshat is that they didn't recycle, right? If you go to bar mitzvah, right, they're always picking up your cup before you finish your drink and taking it back to the kitchen to wash it out and put it out for the next guy. Right? So in Achashverosh's party, they didn't have to recycle, that they had new cups for every guest that came. They didn't have to go and wash them in the meantime. That's the symbol of shot. And there's a remez, Kelim Mikelim Shonim, we know we read in the Trop of Eicha, because again, it's a remez that he was using the Kelim, who's been Mahal, the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, again, to mock the Jews for the fact that we were in Gaulus. The Yein Malchus Rav Ki Adamelech, the kingly wine, right? He didn't just go buy a shekel bottle of wine from the makolet and put it out for all of his guests, that he served them all from the royal winery, from the finest vintages. Kiyad HaMelech, as is appropriate to the wealth of the king. Okay, we're going to see that the whole point of this party was to please everyone. He was out to win everyone over, that they should support his malchus, and we're going to see the irony in that. In the results of this party, v'ashtia kadas enones, that the shtia was kadas, was appropriate. No one was being forced. That everything was being done to make people happy and comfortable. No one was putting them under any duress. Kadas, one drasha that they that's brought is that everything was done al pi halacha. That Mordechai was the mashkiach. That says that he made sure that everything was done in proper kashus. And nonetheless, the whole ruach, the whole atmosphere was inappropriate, and therefore they shouldn't have come. That was the instructions. The instructions that he gave to the servants was to do kirutzon ishvish, make everyone happy, make everyone feel comfortable, especially keeping in mind that we had people coming from representatives, right, the delegations from 127 medinos. Everything had to be done in a way that made all the different people feel comfortable. Okay? Gam Vashti HaMalka asasa mishta nashim beis hamalchus. Vashti HaMalka also made a party for the women in the beis hamalchus, asher lemelech Achashverosh, which belonged to Melech Achashverosh. Okay? Now, why is it that Achashverosh is out in the chatzer and Vashti is having a mesiba in the beis hamalchus? So one pirush is that Lamaisa, the Vashti was in fact from royal blood. Vashti was herself a descendant of Nebuchadnezzar, I think. So she was the one who actually had royal blood, and he was a simple peasant who had taken the Malchus by force. So therefore, there was a certain power struggle going on here that she took the cover, that she was the one having the feast in the Beis HaMalchus. Okay, the Gra points the Gra points out that let's just go one more pasuk. By Yom HaShvi'i, on the seventh day, Ketov Lev HaMelech Bayayin, when the Melech was happy with wine. Okay, now what's he been doing for the last half a year? Right, it seems that he's been in a drunken stupor for the last 187 days. Right, so what does it mean that he was happy with wine on the last day of the Mesiba? It's also interesting to make note that this is the last day of the Mesiba, right? It was 180 days, went off without a hitch. So the last 7 days, the last little party before everyone goes home, and everything was going smoothly, right? And then we're going to see that a glitch fell in his plans at the last moment. Okay, so what's Dafka on the seventh day? Ketov Lev HaMelech Bayayin. So Chazal say that it means that it was Shabbos, and on Shabbos, Hashem saw the way that the Goyim used wine compared with the way that the Jews used wine. And that brought, there's a klal in the Torah. Whenever it says, HaMelech Stam, without Melech HaKashverosh, Chazal Darshan, that it's a reference to Hashem. That since Hashem's name is not mentioned explicitly in the Megillah, so it's hinted to with the name HaMelech. So Ketov Lev HaMelech Bayayin, there on the seventh day on Shabbos, Hashem saw Klal Yisrael making Kiddush and bringing Kedusha to the wine, and saying Divrei Torah, and having a proper Shabbos Tish, and he saw the difference between that and the way that the Goyim got drunk and became disgusting with their wine, and that was a Tov Lev HaMelech, that brought about a certain Ha'aras Panim from Hashem, which we're going to see is why, right, at that moment Hashem brought about the Hashgacha Pratis that would set the stage for the Hatzalah of Klal Yisrael. And the obvious Musar Haskel, right, is obviously that we have to understand that on Purim that it's a time, we'll see later, that it's a time for Mishta V'Simcha, but it has to be in a Jewish way that's Ketov Lev HaMelech Bayayin, that Hashem should see the difference between our Purim Suda and the way that Lahavdil, that the Goyim get drunk in bars and whatever and make all kinds of trouble. Amar L'Mehuman. Huh? What's that? Which pasuk we're on? I think it'll take away a little bit from the Ritzifus. Sorry. Amar L'Mehuman Bisa Charvona Bigsava Avagsa Zesar V'Charkam Shivas Asarisim Amishardim Es Pnei Amelach Achashverosh. Okay, so he said to his seven servants who were the close servants of the king, Muhuman, we'll see, is Chazal say is in fact Haman himself. Lahavi es Vashti, he sent these servants to go and bring Vashti Amalka, Lifnei Amelech Becheser Malchus, wearing the royal crown, according to some interpretations, the royal crown and nothing else. Laharos ha'amim va'asarim es yafya kitovas marei, to show the nations how beautiful she was. Okay, the Gra explains that he had been showing off about his wife. He'd been showing off, telling everyone how he has the most beautiful wife, and therefore the discussion came about that people wanted him to show her off, that he was going to come and parade her in front of the guests, the suda. The Gra points out that why were they talking about their wives at all? He says the fact that there was a Mishnah Nashim going on right next door, that they overheard the talk of the women, they heard their voices, and they started thinking about the women, and that started the whole discussion, and that brought about the whole discussion of Gilui Arias, that they actually wanted her to come and parade in front of the guests. So the Gra points out that we can make a kol shekein here. This was the most mahadrin separation of men and women, right? It wasn't even a machitza. It was two totally separate buildings. The women were inside, the men were outside in the courtyard, and he says still the proximity brought to an inyan of Gilui Arias. So we can make a kol shekein that at times of simchas and joyous occasions, the chashivus of having separations between the men and the women. Okay. Okay, now we're going to see there are a few diyukim that the Gra makes that we have to follow through, that the precise lashonos that the Megillah is going to use. So one thing the Gra keeps emphasizing in this parak is the usage of the word Vashti Amalka. Okay, we're going to see that sometimes it's written Vashti Amalka, Vashti first and then Malka. Sometimes it's going to be switched to emphasize first Malka and then Vashti. Okay, the implication being that whenever it says Vashti Amalka, it's a lashon of bizayon, that it's saying that she's be'ikr, she's just Vashti, and she happens to be the queen. Whereas when it says Amalka Vashti, that's emphasizing that she herself was from royal blood, and she has an intrinsic claim on the Malchus, and therefore that name takes precedence. So when he sent the order, he says, well, Havi Vashti Amalka, bring Vashti the queen, with Ne'amalek the Ketzer Malchus, to embarrass her and show her off publicly. Vatima'ein Hamalka Vashti. So Hamalka Vashti refused, right? Because she said, who are you to give me orders? I'm the Malka. I'm the queen around here. I'm the one with royal blood. Who are you to give me orders? So therefore, she refused. Lavod Dvar HaMelech, Asher B'yad HaSaris to me. And she pointed out that it was particularly embarrassing that he sent this message in the name of the Sarisim. In other words, if he had come and made a personal request, that would have been a different thing. But to just send a command in the hands of his servants was bizayon to her kavod. Okay, Chazal say different explanations why she didn't come. Right, L'chora they understand that she wasn't such a sanua person that it would really disturb her to be showed off. That Chazal say that she grew a tail. The Rishonim explained that it could mean that she had some kind of a deformity that came up, that she was embarrassed to be seen, or she had saras, different explanations of why she was embarrassed to be seen publicly. The melech became tremendously angry, and his anger burned inside of him. Why was his anger burning inside of him? So the Gra explains that there's an obvious, everyone knows that when you're angry about something, that the best way to cool off is to speak it out. If you discuss your problems with someone, then it helps you to cool down. So it says that his anger burned inside of him. What does that mean? The Gra explains that she sent back a message. She said, who are you telling me what to do? I know that you're just a lowly stable boy. So in other words, not only did she refuse to come, but she sent back an insult telling him that she doesn't accept his authority. And therefore, it says, Chamaso Barabo, that his anger burned inside of him because he couldn't tell anyone about it, because it would have just caused him more embarrassment to reveal what she had said about him. So therefore, he had no vent for his anger, and his rage was overwhelmed. Vayomer HaMelech Wachachamim Yodei Ha'itim Kikein Dvar HaMelech Lifnei Kol Yodei Das V'Din. Okay, so now we start the trial. Okay, so now he has to decide how he's going to deal with Vashti. Yeah? What? Good question. Okay, it could be that I mean, there is such an idea as propaganda. In other words, it could be that if you look at, you know, Russia or whatever, like these totalitarian types of places, it could be that they really did, you know, revise the history books and really, you know, cover up that anyone outside of his direct environment wouldn't necessarily know. Or it could be the fact that she was insulted, that she was sending him this message was insulting him. It could be that that's what he didn't want to repeat. Yeah?
Um,
Yeah. Oh, we're not going to darsh it every time. In certain places, we'll mention it, but it could be darshan in every place, but we're not going to cover that. Well, let me just mention that this year and past years has taken on average about 3 hours. So questions are on your own time. So the Gemara says, so it says that who did he ask? Okay, so now he's starting the judgment. So now, who does he ask to make the judgment? He asks the Yodei HaItim. Okay, so now we're going to see there's going to be a very complex interaction that's going to go on here. Okay, the first thing we have to know is that there was a law in Parzamada. Parzamada wasn't Hapkerus. There was a system of checks and balances, and one of the laws in Parzamada was that the king is not allowed to paskin things that affect himself. There was an idea that if it's something that relates to the king directly, then it's not appropriate that he should be the judge. He would have to pass it over to the other judges. Now, the Gra explains, so he was going to have to refer this judgment to the judges, but the Gra points out that if you look from the very beginning, that we see that even though he was angry with Vashti, that he wanted to find a loophole, he wanted to get her off the hook. He didn't want to be completely strict with her judgment, and the reason being, from a practical perspective, that since his whole malchus, she was his only connection to royalty, it was really important for him to keep her around. Also, the Gemara says that she was one of the most beautiful women in the world. That certainly had an impact on him. So he wasn't so quick to get rid of Vashti. So who did he turn to? He turned to the Yodei HaItim, specifically the ones who understand the times. In other words, the judges who he expected would take into account the circumstances and see that there was room for leniency in the judgment. Okay? Because the Dvar HaMelech had to go in front of the Yodei Das Bedin. He couldn't just decide himself. Okay, so he referred to these seven judges. The seven Sari Parazumadai who sat first in the Malchus, meaning the front row, the closest ministers to the king. Kedas Malasos B'Malka Vashti. To see what to do with Malka Vashti. Okay, so now all of a sudden we see that he's changing his tune. Now he's showing her kavod, saying she is the Malka Vashti after all. Alashir Wolasis Ma'amar Melach Achashverosh Biyada Sarisim. Which he realizes that it was an affront to her that he sent it in the hands of the Sarisim, and therefore there's a certain justification in her refusal. Vayomer Mulukhan. So now, what do we have now? So we have a situation where he can't judge it himself, so he has to refer it to the judges. And he's hinting to the judges that he's looking for a lenient judgment. So comes along Memuchan. Okay? Memuchan, we know, is Haman. And he's going to manipulate the whole situation. He has a personal interest that he wants to make sure that there comes out a very harsh judgment against Vashti. Okay? This stems from a basic insecurity that Haman has in his own marital relationship. Okay, there's certain shalom bias issues going on in Haman's house. We're going to see later on. Okay, and therefore it's very important to Haman that this women's lib thing doesn't catch on in Parzamadai, because he doesn't want Zeresh to start taking over his household. Okay, so he wants to make sure that Vashti gets punished very severely. So Vayomer Mumukhan with Nea Melech Vasarin. So he suggests to the Melech and the Sarin, Lo Amelech Lovado Av Savashti Amalka, that this affront is not only to the king, Ki Al Kol Asarin Val Kol Amim Asher B'Kol Midinos Amelech HaKashverosh. Rather, it's an affront to all of the ministers and to all of the nations in Achashverosh's domain. Ki Etzei Dvar Amalka Al Kol Anashim Lahavlus Ba'alehen Be'nehen. Because the word is going to get out that the women are being rebellious, and all the women are going to start embarrassing their husbands. Be'amram HaMelech Achashverosh Amar Lavi Az Vashti Amalka L'fanav V'lobah. They're going to say, look, Vashti didn't come when Achashverosh told her to, so why should I listen to my husband? Ba'yom HaZeh Tomarna Saros Paros Amadai Asher Shamu Az Dvar HaMalka L'chol Sarai HaMelech U'kidai B'yazayon B'kasa. And Next thing you know, that all the people all the women in Paras and Madai are going to be talking about this and saying, and it's going to be a tremendous embarrassment to the king that he set this precedent of giving power to the women. Okay, so therefore, Haman says, don't be so quick to pass this over to the judges and let them judge it because it's nogea to Melech. I think this is nogea to the entire nation, and therefore what he's going to do is he's going to put it back on Achashverosh. He's going to say, don't give it to the Tsarim to decide. I want you, Achashverosh, to decide. And then Achashverosh, he knows, even though Achashverosh wants to let her off, he's not going to be able to do it himself because he's going to realize that it's too big of a pagina in his kavod to be mochel to Vashti. So therefore, he suggests, imal mel tov yetzei dvar malchus melefanav v'yikasei v'date paras umadai v'lu yavor asher lo savo Vashti v'fnei ha-melech Achashverosh u'malchusa yitein ha-melech. Okay, so now, the Gra points out that there's two different edicts that happened here. He says, Yetzei Dvar Malchus Lefanav, that first of all, there should be a royal edict. That's step one. And second of all, Yikasei Vedate Parasumadai, V'lo Yavor Asher Lo Tavo Vashti Lutnei HaMelech Achashverosh. The second thing is that Vashti should be banished. Okay, so the first thing is that there should be a Dvar Malchus. What's the Dvar Malchus? So the first thing was that Achashverosh said we have to amend the constitution of Paras u'Madai. We have to change this law that the Melech can't judge himself. And we're going to make it that the Melech can judge himself and he can judge things even though they're nogea to him personally because of this taina that Haman has, that really anything that's nogea to the Melech indirectly is going to affect the rest of the Malchus also. So therefore he wants to change the rule and put it back in Achashverosh's lap that he has to make the decision. V'nishba pisgam ha-melech asher yase b'chol malchuso ki rava hi v'chol anashim yitnu yikar l'valein l'migadol v'ad katon. And it should be heard in all of the vast malchus of Achashverosh that the women should show kavod to their husbands, from the great people to the little people, that everyone in their own family should be in control. V'yitav adavar v'nei ha-melech v'asarim v'yase ha-melech kidvar memukon. Okay, so it says that it found favor in the eyes of the king and the sarin. Vayas ha-melech kidvar memukan, and he did what memukan said. Okay, so now the Gra points out this is already a tremendous, tremendous hashgacha pratis. He says, when do you ever find ministers that are willing to give up their authority? Right, that they had the authority to judge things that are nogea to Melech, and Haman convinced them to give up that authority and pass it back to the Melech. Okay. Just to see, because it's going to be a few hours till we get there, but in the end of the day, this is going to be an essential piece of the puzzle, that at the last minute, when Achashverosh is filled with anger on Haman, that it's going to be essential that he's able to paskin the Gzar Din on Haman directly without having any delay. So that was all being set up here by this change of the edict that the king should be in charge of his own, of deciding his own din. And Mimela, once it was up to him, he had to be harsh and punish Vashti in the most extreme way. Okay, now, at first you think it's just like the rated G version that she gets, that Vashti gets banished from gets banished from the palace, right, never to return again, right? Chazal say that in fact she really was killed, okay? So there are certain Mefarshei Pshat that weren't Kipshuta that she was only banished, but the Pshat Pi Chazal is that even though it says that she wouldn't appear in front of the king again, that in fact the final gzeirah was that she was actually killed. Vayitav adavar bein ha-melech v'asar v'yasem ha-melech kidvar memukhan v'yishvach svarim el kol medinos ha-melech el medina u'medina kichsava v'el am v'am kiloshono v'yos kol ish sorer b'veso u'medaber kiloshon ha-melech. That each, they sent out messengers to every nation saying that every man should be the authority in his house. And medaber kilshonamo kipashtus, if the people married for the husband and wife were from different nations, that the husband, the language of the husband should be the language spoken in the house to show kavod to the husband. Okay, Chazal actually point out, they say that if not for this original edict, that Klal Yisrael never would have survived the later edict. And because the Gemara explains that people saw this edict as being such a farce, They thought that Haman was Meshuggah. You know, what are you sending out a message? Why do you have to send to all the nations that the man should be in charge of the house, right? Women's lib didn't get started, didn't get going until the 70s. I don't know. They didn't have, it wasn't an issue back then. What is he sending this thing? Just because he has this wife who's a nudnik, who's always on top of him, so he has to send this edict to give authority to the husband. So it says that once this edict went out, people started to think that whoever was sending out these royal decrees was a little imbalanced, and therefore they didn't take the next one so seriously. It says otherwise they wouldn't have waited until Yud Gimel. They would have gone out and started killing the Jews right away. So that also was a part of the Hashgacha. Okay. Perek Beis. Achar Advar Ma'ewa, Kisho Hamas Anolach HaKashverosh, Zachar Ez Vashti, Ve'ez Asher Asasa, Ve'ez Asher Nigzar Aleh. Okay, after these events, when the king's anger was soothed, abated, he remembered Vashti, and he remembered what she had done, and what was Nigzar, what was paskined against her. What do you mean, what was Nigzar Aleh? He was the one who gave the psak. What do you mean, that was paskined against her? So the Gra explains that this is based on what he said, that it was all done against his will. He was manipulated to have to come to this conclusion, even though he himself would have preferred to have let her up. Vayomru Nare HaMelech Misharsav, Yivakshu HaMelech Naros Besulos Tovos Mara. Okay, so now, he has to replace Vashti, right? So he just had a wife who was a tremendously authoritative figure from a tremendously powerful family of Malchus. So any rational king, how would he deal with the situation? He would go and find another very miyuchas queen to take her place. Right? That's how treaties would go on between nations in ancient times, was by intermarrying with other royal dynasties. That would be the way that a king would solidify his rule. So the logical thing at this time would be to find somebody miyuchas. So who does he go to for advice? He asks the Nare HaMelech. Right? This is not the Yodei Ha'itim, this is not the Chachamim, this is not the Sarin, the Yoshvei Pnei HaMelech. He asks the Na'arim, he asks the youth who are hanging around the palace. He asks them, what do you suggest? What should I do? How should I find a new queen? So what kind of advice do the Na'arim say? Oh, you should have a beauty pageant, and you should find a beautiful woman. They write, forget about Yichus, forget about about authority, right? No, forget all that stuff. Just find somebody who's beautiful, right? So obviously this is a tremendously unnatural decision for a king to make. It's completely irrational. All part of the hashgacha of how Esther, without having any yuchus, without revealing her nation at all, was brought in to be taken as queen. So he appointed delegates in each country, vayikvitzu es kol na'ara besula tovas mara, together all of the beautiful besulas, el shushan abira, el beis hanashim, el yad hege sri samel, that they should all come to Shushan, to the beis samel, and under the auspices of hege sri samel, shomer hanashim, the guard of the women, the nasontem lukehem, in order that they should receive their spices, their perfumes and anointment to make them beautiful for the king. And the queen, which will find favor in the eyes of the king, will take the place of Vashti. So he accepted their advice without checking with any more authoritative advisors. He took their advice and began his search. Ish Yehudi Haya B'Shushan Abira. A Jew was in Shushan Abira. Okay, again the Lashon Haya B'Shushan. He wasn't in Shushan, meaning that he preceded Achashverosh. It was because he was there that the Hashgacha brought Achashverosh into this situation. Ushmo Mordechai ben Yair ben Shimi ben Kish ish Yemini. Okay, so Mordechai, the son of Yair, the son of Shimi, the son of Kish, who was Ish Yemini. So the Pashas, we have a steer. First it says Ish Yehudi, and which is Mashma, he was from Shevet Yehuda. In the end it says Ish Yemini, Mashma from Shevet Binyamin. So Chazal said it really was from Binyamin. The Lashon Yehudi is a Lashon that Chazal used to say that anyone who's kofer b'avodah zarah is called Yehudi. The Gra says al derech hapshat that What it means was, Ish is a lashon of Chashivus. It means that first he was originally from Shevet Binyamin, and he was from the leaders of Shevet Binyamin. Then, when the 10 Shvatim went into Galus, so he remained in Eretz Yisrael with the remnants of, with Shevet, mostly who was left with Shevet Yehuda. So then he became a leader among Shevet Yehuda. So it's showing the greatness of Mordechai, that even though his Shevet was sent into Galus, he remained a leader even among the general population of Yehuda. Chazal Darshan, his name, Mordechai ben Yair ben Shimi ben Kish. The Gra brings that it's all Lashonos of Tefillah, that the Iker Koach of Mordechai, we're going to see, was his Koach of Tefillah. That was the main Koach that brought the Hatzalah of Klal Yisrael, was the Tefillah. So it's Ben Yair Shehir Einehem B'Tefillah, that he enlightened them in ways of davening. Ben Shimi, that Hashem listened to his prayers. Ben Kish, Shehikish Daltot Rachamim, that he banged on the doors of Rachamim to awaken Hashem's Rachamim. Asher Haglam Yerushalayim Im Agola, Asher Agla Im Yechanya Mel Yehuda, who was sent into Galus from Yerushalayim with the Gola that went out with Yechanya, the king of Yehuda. Asher Hagla Nebuchadnezzar Mel of Babel, who was sent into Galus by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel. Okay? The Etzim fact, it says that he was sent into Galus together with Yechanya, so the Psukim recorded that this happened 17 years before the final Galus. Yechanya was sent into Galus with what the Pasuk refers to as the Charish U'Masger, which Chazal darshan as being a reference to the Talmidei Chachamim. Okay, so here again we see the Chashivus of Mordechai, that he was sent into Galus together with the exile, the original exile of all the Talmidei Chachamim who were sent out with Melech Yechanya. Okay, the Gra points out that the Pasuk says four different times the Lashon of Galus. Asher Haglo Mirushalayim Im Agola, Asher Haglosa Im Yechanya Melech Yehuda, Asher Haglo Nebuchadnezzar Melech Babel. Four different Lashonos of Galus. So the Gra explains that Mordechai loved Eretz Yisrael so much that each time that they would kick him out of Eretz Yisrael, that he would escape and come back to Eretz Yisrael to try to continue living in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore that he had to be sent into Galus four different times until they could get him to stay in Chutzpah. Vayehi Omen Etz Hadassah, he Esther Bas Dodo, he raised Hadassah, who was Esther Bas Dodo, his niece, Ki Ein La Abeim, because her father and mother had died, she was an orphan. Vahanara Yifas Torah V'Tovas Mara, she was beautiful. She had a beautiful form and beautiful features. Ubimos Avia V'Ima L'Kacha Mordechai Lo L'Bas, and when her parents died, Mordechai took her as a bas, simple pshat, as a daughter, meaning he raised her up. But Chazal Darshan also, L'Bas is a lashon of L'Bayis, right? Shout out for getting Dachman Beis, if anyone got there yet. Right, the Gemara says that the Amoraim said that I called my wife my bias, right? That bias is another word for Isha, because the Isha is the Iker of the house. So therefore, the Pasuk is being Maram is that Mordechai also married Esther, which we're going to see create certain complications later on. Vayhi b'shama hishama dvar ha-melech v'daso. So when the dvar ha-melech, the royal edict, v'daso, and his decree were heard, okay, so we see that there were two stages. First there was a dvar ha-melech. The dvar ha-melech was just a call for volunteers to come and audition for being the accepted as queen. But then when he saw and found the one he was looking for, then it became a das, then it became an edict that he insisted that all the bezulas be brought. Ubehi kabeitz narus rabos el shushan avira el yad higai vatilakach Esther el beis hamelach el yad higai shomer anashim. Esther was taken to the beis hamelach el yad higai shomer anashim. Okay, here's where we have to dispel another one of these misconceptions, right? We're raised in from kindergarten with this nice vision of the Cinderella story of how Esther was this poor orphan girl, and here she all of a sudden was raised up to be queen of Paros and Madai. Isn't it beautiful, right? No, in fact, that was not what was going on. That really Esther was a nice from Beis Yaakov girl, and she didn't want to be anywhere near this disgusting Mushchas Goyish king, and she did everything in her power to try to avoid being taken to the Melech. Okay, we're going to see, based on the chronology, that she managed to hide out for 3 years. That even though he was scouring the entire countryside for beautiful women to bring to him, that she was living right there in Shushan HaBira for 3 years, and she hadn't been discovered until finally they discovered her and brought her against her will to the Beis HaMelech. Okay, and we're going to see that every lashon that it refers to Esther being brought to the Melech is all lashonos of her being taken Baal Korcho. By Tilakach, she was taken, not she went, but she was taken to the Beis HaNashim. By Titav Hanara Be'enav, and she found favor in his eyes. By Tisa Chesed Lefanav, and meaning in the eyes of the Haggai, the Shomer HaNashim, he appreciated her by Evil as Tamrukai. He rushed to bring her perfumes and incense, Vasmanoseha, the portions that she deserved, Latetla, the ace Sheva Narus Haruyas Latetla mi Beis HaMelech, and the seven servants who was appropriate to give her. So he was quick and anxious to accommodate all of her needs, because she found favor in his eyes. Deshana Vaznarosel with Tov Beis HaNashim, he gave her the best suite in the house. He gave her all the preferential treatment because he liked her so much. She made such a good impression. Lo Higida Esther as Ama Vasmolata. She didn't reveal her nation. Ki Mordechai Tziva Allah Asher Lo Tagid. Mordechai had commanded her that she should not tell. Okay, now this is one of the tricky points in the Pshat and the Megillah. We understand that this was an essential part of the Hatzalah, because we're going to see that in the end, that was a major part of the turnaround that went on at the last minute when she revealed herself to Ahasuerus, and she revealed that the Gzeira included her because she was Jewish. So that moment where he was filled with anger and he made the decision to kill Haman, that whole thing could have only come about if she was able to catch Haman off guard. If he had known the whole time that she was Jewish, so he would have made the decree to kill everyone else except for Esther, or he would have done things, maneuvered things in a different way that wouldn't have got him into that situation where he was set up as Kihu going against Esther and therefore awakening the wrath of Ahasuerus. Okay, so we see that was an essential part of the Hashgacha. Now, what we need to understand, though, is al derech pshat, what exactly was Mordechai thinking? What was the reason why he gave this tzivui that it was so important to her not to reveal her lineage? So the Gra himself explains that the danger was because the reason he didn't want her to reveal it was that since she had been hiding out for 3 years, when she was finally taken, he was afraid that they were going to be angry that she had hidden from them and she had not come forward previously, and therefore he was afraid that there was going to be retribution against her nation for the fact that she tried to hide from Ahasuerus. Okay, so that's the Gra's pshat, that she didn't want to reveal her lineage because she didn't want him to be angry with the Jews for the fact that she hid. The Malbim warns a very different shot. The Malbim warns that the Rashi warns the shot is that really she had a very very chash of Yehud. That really she was from the family of Shlomo HaMelech, and therefore she was afraid that if he would know her real Yehud, that Adarabah, that he would bedavka want to marry her because it would be a chashivus to his malchus. So that pshat learns that it was being kept a secret. The opposite, because he didn't want it. She was trying to avoid being taken, and therefore she didn't want to say something, reveal information that would make her more attractive to Ahasuerus. Okay, and the Alshith, the third shot, is interesting. He says that really this whole idea was because Mordechai had cheshbon the whole thing out. That Mordechai had this amazing Ruach HaKodesh that he saw from the beginning where this whole thing was leading, and he had made this whole calculation of how they were going to pull this last minute salvation. He knew because they had Benana from the Suda that there was going to be a Zera against them, and it was important that they have somebody on the inside, and that she would be able at the last minute to turn around against them. So with Fidab Shot, it was all calculated from the beginning. Yeah.
What would he do with the girls after?
We'll get there. That's in the middle of Sukkim. Yeah. Right. I think the Chazal say that there was a Derech Nes that she was that anatomically she still seemed to be a Basura. The simple shot you could say is that she was just Arusa. That she was still young. She was only an Arusa to what's called. There's one place in Chazal where it's Mashma that she was actually Nesua. There's one place in Chazal where it's Mashma that she was Nesua. Hashza was even before this. I don't remember if it's related to explicitly. Yeah.
He saw an article on this. It's kind of combined Rashi and Yalshif.
Oh yeah.
He said that before she didn't want to be taken, so she didn't say anything. But then after he saw she was taken anyway, he saw there was something.
Okay. Yeah, we'll see. That's gonna be right. That's gonna be a complication. We'll see that in a second. Okay. Uvechol yom v'yom. Mordechai mishal v'bnei chatzar beis hanashim. Ladas es shlom aster umayi aseba. Okay. So every day that Mordechai would walk in front of the chatzar beis hanashim to know how Esther was doing, and to see what was being done with her. So what were his two concerns? First of all, as Shlomo asked her how she was holding up emotionally, in other words, he realized how traumatic this was for her to be taken to the house of this Goyish king, and therefore she was physically sick from the trauma of this experience. In fact, Chazal say that she was green, that Esther was green, and the Gra explains that wasn't just her natural hue. The Pshat was she was green from sickness. When a person is nauseous, is sick, that they look green. So he's saying that's what it meant. She was green, that she looked sick from being so disgusted by having to go to Ahasuerus. And part of the nace was that she had this chain, that there was a certain natural beauty that she had, that even though physically she was so run down and so oppressed, that she still made a favorable impression on Ahasuerus. Okay, now Mordechai was constantly looking out for her to see Mashlom Esther, how she was holding up, and what will be done with her. In other words, he was concerned, as we said before, that she was going to be punished for the fact that she had tried to hide from him. So he was it would take 12 months for them to be prepared to go to the king, that they would spend 12 months in these different types of anointing and perfumes to make themselves more beautiful to go to the king. Shisha chadashim b'shem en amor, 6 months in more oil, which the Gra says was a hair remover. B'shisha chadashim b'besamim, 6 months soaking in incense. U'b'tamrukei anashim, in different types of spices. The Gra, even in Derech HaPshat, he says this pasuk doesn't make any sense. Why we need to know the details of how exactly she beautified herself? So even in Derech HaPshat, he goes through a whole mahalach of Ramazim, that this is a remez to Klal Yisrael, the din that we have in Aseret Yemei Tshuva, and that we have a year to fulfill the din. And he goes through a whole explanation of the remez in his pesukim. He says even on Derech HaPshat, it's hard to understand what these pesukim are doing in the Megillah. After the 12-month period, she would be sent to the Beis HaMelech, and she could make any requests. They would give her whatever she wanted to make herself appealing to try to win over the favor of the king. At night, she would go to the king, and in the morning, she would go back to the El Beis Hanashim, to the house of the women. Sheni El Yad Shashgaz Sarich Hamel Shomer HaPilagshim. Okay, when she would go back, she would go to the Shomer HaPilagshim. This is the question you were asking before. Is there was a separate house where the women Pilagshim are women who weren't married. They didn't have a status of queen, but once they'd been with the king, it would be irreverent to the king for them to go and marry a regular husband. And therefore, it says, "Lo tavo od al melch ki im chavetz ba melch v'nikra b'shem." They would be stuck there for the rest of their lives. They would never go back to the king unless they would be called by name. And that was, she would live out the rest of her life like an almana, stuck in this Beis HaNashim, not able, not married to the king, but also not able to go out and marry a regular person. Okay, Chazal actually point out that this is actually a mida tova of Achashverosh. There's a bit of ambivalence trying to understand what exactly Achashverosh's role here was. In some places we see him as being an accomplice in the plans of Haman. Here Chazal actually point out that there's a mida tova of Achashverosh that he had snius, that Lamaisa, that the fact that she would come to him at night and go during the day, that was a certain mida of snius. And I saw a pirush that actually explains Lamaisa in the end. The Mefarshim explained that Koresh, who was the king of Paros Madai, who gave the authority for Klal Yisrael to go back and rebuild the Beis Hamikdash, was in fact a descendant of from the marriage of Esther and Achashverosh. So they say that there had to be some schus that Achashverosh had, that he was zocha to marry Esther and to have offspring like Koresh. And Chazal say that at least this mida, you see that he had a certain mida of tznius. V'agia Torah Esther bas Avichayel dod Mordechai asher lakach lo levas lavo el amelch lo biksha davar ki imas asher yomar hegai sris amelch shomer anashim. Okay, so when it came her turn, she didn't ask for anything. Again, this was following her policy that she was doing her best to be rejected. She had no interest in being taken to be the queen of Achashverosh, and therefore she didn't ask for anything of her own accord, but she would take anything that Haggai would give her. It would be like a merit of a malchus to refuse, so she would accept what was given. But he asked her no say stay bein ekorah, and again, she continued to find favor in the eyes of everyone who saw her. Vatilakach Esther El Hamelach Achashverosh, El Beis Malchuso, Vachodesh Asiri, Hu Chodesh Teves. She was taken to the Beis Malchus in Chodesh Asiri, Hu Chodesh Teves, Bishnas Sheva Malchuso, the seventh year of Malchus. Here we can make a calculation that the Mesiba was in the third year. That's when Vashti was killed. So he's been looking for, for over 3 years. It's been 4 years. 1 year of her preparing herself for the king, so she was hiding for 3 years before she was taken. Again, another thing to keep in mind when we read the Megillah, we also have to keep in mind the time frame. Okay, the time frame, when we read the Megillah in one sitting, it seems like we can see very obviously the hashkacha of how all the pieces fit together. But if you realize that these events were taking place over a period of 12 years, so then it's much more impressive to see how all the pieces came into play over this long period of time. That somebody watching, somebody there at the time, wouldn't see how all these different events interacted and how they fit together. But in retrospect, looking back over the entire period, you're able to see how these events all fit together. Vayav a melch as Esther, Mikol Anashim, Batiza Chen Vachesed Lefanav, Mikol Habesulos, Vayasim Keser Malchus Barosha, Vayam Licha Tachas Vashti. So she found favor in his eyes, and he gave her the Keser Malchus, he made her the Malka in place of Vashti. In other words, even though she didn't have Yuchus, she never told who her nation was, she still was given the full authority of the queen. Vayasim Melch Mishta Gadol Lechol Sarav Avedav, Ace Mishta Esther, he made another party for all of his servants, and he called the Mishta Esther, celebrating his marriage to Esther. Vanacha, Lamedinos, he gave discounts on the taxes to show his the royal favor that time of favor that he was going through. Lamedinos, Asa Veite Maseis Gadamel, he gave gifts like the according to the capabilities of the king. Okay, the Gra explains that he gave gifts to all the different nations since she didn't reveal what nation she was from, so he wanted to show Akaras Hatov to whichever nation she really was from, so he gave something to each different nation. And when they gathered other Besulos, Mordechai was sitting in the Shara Melech. Okay, what were they gathering Besulos? Shenis? The Gra explains that they were gathering all of the leftover women who hadn't yet been taken to Achashverosh, they gathered them to send them home, to send them away, as a show of the fact that he had made a final decision that he was sticking with Esther and he wasn't interested in bringing anyone else into the Malchus besides Esther. And the Pasuk says, Mordechai Yoshev b'Shar HaMelech. Mordechai was sitting at the Shar HaMelech. The Shar HaMelech was a chashivus, that meant that he was appointed as a judge. The judges sat in the Shar HaMelech. Now, the Gra seems to understand that he was appointed as he was given chashivus as a show of respect for Esther. Okay? Meaning that the Gra understands that everyone knew that Mordechai had raised Esther. That wasn't the secret. Everyone knew that Mordechai had raised Esther. But they knew that she was an orphan and no one knew what her lineage was. The secret was who her actual biological lineage was. So she knew that she had a relationship with Mordechai, that Mordechai was her foster parent, and therefore, as a karas hatov, he gave Mordechai a chashuv position in the Malchus. But the secret was the fact that she was Jewish, and the Chazal even say that part of the mystery was, it says, that she had the lashon that we see, keep seeing of chayin, that she found favor in people's eyes. Chazal say that it means that she appeared to each person as if she was from their nation. So anyone who looked at her saw that she seemed, you know, a Chinese person would say, oh, you know, her eyes look Chinese, right? So whatever it was, each person who looked at her would think that she was from his nation, and therefore it was they didn't, even though she grew up by Mordechai, they didn't suspect that she was actually biologically Jewish. Ein Esther Magedes Mulata Vesama Kasher Tziva Ala Mordechai Vesmamor Mordechai Esther Osa Kasher Haisa Ba'amna Yisrael. Okay, so it says that she still wouldn't reveal her what nation she was from because Mordechai had commanded her, and she continued to fulfill Mordechai's command the same way that she had when he was raising her. So it's a show of the mitos of Esther, that even though now she was a powerful queen, that she still kept the same subservience to Mordechai that she had had when she was when she was a simple orphan and he was raising her. Okay. Now the ha'ara here is, so why was it still important that she didn't reveal, right? So according to the Gra, the reason why she didn't reveal originally was because she was afraid that she was going to be punished. So l'chora, once she already found favor in Achashverosh's eyes, so now there's no longer a reason to keep the secret. Okay. Now the Pirush of the Gra here seems to understand that it's like a gzeira, that once Mordechai made the gzeira, that she was just keeping it like halacha moshe misinai kilu, that even though the time no longer applied, but she was faithful to the edict that Mordechai had given, and it was just part of the hashkafa that it came out in such a way that was to the hatzal of Klal Yisrael. Okay, I saw there are other mepharshim that you could say al derech the Gra, but just taking a step further, that even after she was chosen, Lemaisa, we see that she still never went to him willingly, and she still was trying to keep a distance from Achashverosh as much as possible. So it could be that she was still afraid that she was still going to offend Achashverosh and cause him to take retribution at some later point against the Jews. So she thought it was better to remain anonymous even after she had been taken as queen. Okay. Bayami Mahem Mordechai Yoshev b'Shar HaMelech. In those days when Mordechai was sitting in the Shar HaMelech, having been appointed a judge, Katzaf Bigsan v'Seresh Shnei Sarisim HaMelech Mishomri Asaf. Two of the Sarisim, the servants of the Melech, who were guards of the entrance, Ve'yavakshu Lishloach Yad b'Melech Achashverosh. They plotted to kill Achashverosh. Okay, different theories about what they were so angry about, why they wanted to kill Achashverosh. Some of Horshim say that they were relatives of Vashti, they were angry that Vashti had been punished. Others say that it was part of the Sarim, that they were angry that Haman's advice had been taken, and they'd given more power, more authority to Achashverosh and taken it away from the Sarim. So whatever it was, there was a certain rebellion going on. It became known to Mordechai, Esther Amalka, and he told Esther Amalka, okay, how did it become known to Mordechai? Because I'll say that he was from the Sanhedrin, so he knew 120 languages, so he understood the language that they were speaking, even though they didn't expect anyone to know their language. She told it to the king in the name of Mordechai, and we'll see the tremendous significance that this had, that she said it b'shem Omro, because I'll say, we learned from here that just a small aspect of Derek Eretz, of Omer, Dover, b'shem Omro, maybe it was Gulom that brought the Hatzal of Klai Yisrael, was brought about because of this need of Derek Eretz that she had to say b'shem Omro. Yeah?
Is that was it before?
So she would cover all the bases.
He could have just asked.
He did. He kept asking. She wouldn't tell. That's what I'm saying. He kept pressing her, and she wouldn't tell because she was so fixed on this because that was what Mordechai was mitzvah. Vayivuka shadavar. Yeah. It was years after the original.
It was years after Vashi, and it was years after the Western.
Interesting. Okay. Interesting point. Yeah. Okay. It could be that things were in the works. It doesn't always. These things don't always happen immediately. But I heard that earlier. Okay. Vayivuka shadavar vayimatze. They checked into the reports, and it was found that it was correct. Vayitalu shneim al eitz. They were hanged from a tree, by Ikasei v'Sefer Dibrei Hayamim with Yamel, and it was recorded in the Sefer Dibrei Hayamim in the journal of the Melech that Mordechai had given this tip to save Achashverosh. Okay, Acharaj Barim Ha'Ela Gidal HaMelech Achashverosh Es Haman Ben Hamdasa Ha'Agagi Vayinaseu Vayasan Es Kiso Me'al Kol Asarim Asherito. Acharaj Barim Ha'Ela, after all of these events. Okay, so what does it mean, Achar Adbarim Ma'ela? So there's a midah that Hashem is Makdim Refuah L'Maka, that Hashem sets up the salvation before the suffering. So what the Pasuk is saying here is that only after having set up all of the background that was necessary to bring about the Hatzalah, only then did the actual Tsar take place to Klai Yisrael. Okay, so what do we have set up so far? Just a quick summary, right? So what? It's Makdim Refuah V'Maka. That everything had already been set into place of how the Hatzalah was going to come before the danger ever took place. Okay, so we have right, based on the Gra, the whole fact that the Malchus was moved to Shushan, that he got rid of Vashti and brought Esther in. He listened to the Narim. He brought in Esther, even though she didn't have any Yichus. She didn't tell him what nation she was from, so that it would be a surprise at the end. Mordechai was raised up to a place of Chashivus. Mordechai warned at the plot. She said it b'shem Omro. The laws were changed that he could judge things that regarded himself on the spot. He didn't have to pass it over to the Sarim, right? All of these details that all came into play in bringing about the final Hatzalah had all been set into place. Okay? So, Haman, Ben Amdasa Agagi, right, from Agag, who was the last Melech of the Amalekim, who Shaul left over from one night, and through that one night he was able to have descendants that continued the line of Amalek, and that brought about Haman, who was from that line. The Kol Avdei Amelech, Asher b'shar ha'melech korim mishtachavim ha'aman ki chen tziva lo ha'melech, that Haman was the top minister that everyone else had to bow down to. U'mordechai lo yichrav lo yishtachav. Then Mordechai refused to bow down to Haman. Chazal say that Haman made himself into an avodah zara. In other words, he declared himself to be a deity, that he claimed to have supernatural powers that people needed to bow down to him. And therefore Mordechai judged this as being an Israel of avodah zara, and therefore he refused to bow down. Okay, the Michtav Me'eliyahu points out that we learned from this parsha an important yesod in Emunas Chachamim, that sometimes the Chachamim do something that externally a person looks and they say, look, the Chachamim are making trouble, they're making problems for Klal Yisrael, that in fact Mordechai had warned people not to go to the party of Achashverosh. And really, it was the fact that they went to the party against Mordechai's tzibur, that was really what brought about the gzera. The fact that Mordechai had the gumption to stand up to Haman, even though on a short term, in a direct, natural way, it looks like that was what angered Haman and what brought about the gzera, we understand that on a Pnimius level, it was really Mordechai's Tzidkus that was what enabled Klal Yisrael to survive the tremendous danger from the Gzeira based on the fact that they were Nana from Suda Vachashverosh. Okay, so he had the Shikol Adas that this was considered Avodah Zarah, and therefore he wasn't allowed to bow down to it. Vayomru Avdei HaMelech, Asher B'Shar HaMelech, U'Mordechai, Madua Ta Over Eis Mitzvah HaMelech. They asked him, how can you go against the royal decree? Vayhi Ba'amram Ewa V'yom V'yom, V'lo Shama Aleihem, when they would keep telling him this day after day, and he wouldn't listen to them, Vayagidu HaHaman. So finally, they told Haman, they pointed out to Haman that Mordechai wasn't bowing down. Liros Hayanzu Zubei Mordechai, to challenge to see whether Mordechai could really stick up to his commitment to not bow down to Haman. Ki hi gidlam asher hu yudi, because he revealed to them that he was Jewish. Okay, the Gra points out, he says that of all the persecution the Klal Yisrael suffered, that the greatest persecution is persecution that has to do with religion. That as long as it's secular, that they don't like us, that there's a limit to how evil they can be. But when it comes to religion, that they're angry about our religious convictions, they have their own religious beliefs that motivate them. A fight that stems from religious convictions, he says, is the most vicious. And therefore, the fact that he was Yehudi, that's what really got them angry. That's what really made them want to destroy Klal Yisrael. Vayar Haman ki ein Mordechai korea umishtachave lo vayimalei Haman chema. When he noticed, they pointed this out to him, and he saw that he really wasn't bowing down, he was filled with anger. Vayivez beinav lushloch yad b'Mordechai levado. That it was insignificant in his eyes to kill Mordechai himself. Ki yidu lo es am Mordechai. They told him who the nation of Mordechai was. Vayivakish Haman lahashmid es kol ha-Yehudim asher b'chol malchus achashverosh am Mordechai. So therefore, he decided that he wanted to kill all the Jews, the nation of Mordechai. So since he was doing it for religious reasons, he held it against not only Mordechai, but against all of the Jews. Okay, and we see also the emphasis, we're going to see that there are different lashonos of how he wanted to destroy them. His ikar kavan, it says, lahashmid. Lahashmid is a lashon of shmad, is to turn them away from their religion. So he says the ikar kavanah was to take away the religion of Israel, and we'll see only later, in his anger, he decided to take it even further and destroy them physically. V'chodesh harishon hu chodesh nisan, v'shnas shtem esrei l'melech Achashverosh, hi pil pur hu agorol, his word in the 12th year. So it's been 5 years since Esther was taken into the Beis HaMalchus. The Gra seems to learn that this idea has been brewing in his mind that it was 5 years ago that Mordechai wasn't bowing down, but it took time until he felt that he was in a position to suggest to Achashverosh to actually destroy the Jews. He feel poor, who a goral, he threw a lottery, which is the goral lifnei aman, miyom liyom mihodesh bechodesh nemasar uchodesh adar. It came out on the the 12th month, Chodesh Nemasar Chodesh Adar, the 12th month, which is Chodesh Adar. So he chose the day for destroying the Jews. Okay, now this Hebel Pur we see is obviously very significant to the Megillah. The Megillah is going to say at the end that the whole name Purim is Al Shem the Pur. So what's the significance of the Pur? So the Gra explains that the poor represents the system of mazalot. The poor represents that Achashverosh was in tune with the mazalot. Haman was a sorcerer, whatever it was. He understood the nature of the mazalot, and it wasn't just some rolling dice. That he really saw that the nature of the world was that the mazalot were such that this was an auspicious time to destroy Klal Yisrael. And the Washington Bay Gra, he says that in the end, in order to save Klal Yisrael, that Hashem was mishadeid hamarachos, that Hashem overturned the system. He overrode the system of the mazalos. This is based on the principle that ein mazal Yisrael, that when Klal Yisrael is connected to Hashem, that we're not dependent on the normal workings of mazal, which is just a more sophisticated form of nature, that everything is the whole, we're going to see the whole vision of Haman is that Hashem Kilu created the world and just left everything on autopilot, everything's running by itself. So therefore, based on his vision, if in the Mazalos show that Klai Yisrael is going to be destroyed in this month, that he'll have the power to destroy them. And what he didn't realize is that Klai Yisrael has this ability to achieve the connection to Hashem, to be raised up to a Hashkacha Pratis that overrides the system of Mazalos, and that's the Hashkacha that Hashem intervened to save Klai Yisrael despite the inauspicious Mazalos in that time. But what? No, that's what it's saying. Is that Haman, alpi his chachma of astrology or whatever it is, he really came out that was the appropriate month for destroying Klai Yisrael. Vayomer Haman, because I'll say that it was the month that Moshe died in, and he didn't realize it was also the month that Moshe was born. So there was something about the month that really was auspicious for destroying Klai Yisrael, but he didn't see this hidden cloth of Klai Yisrael. Vayomer Haman, Lamelech HaChashverosh, Yes, no, am echad mufuzar mufora dena amim v'chol midyonos malchusecha v'daseim shonos mikol am v'estatei amelach enam osim v'amelach enam v'amicham. Okay, so now, Chazal say that no one knows Lishna Bishna, no one knew how to speak Lashon Hara like Haman. Okay, what does that mean? So on a simple understanding, it means that Haman was the ultimate propagandist. He was the originator of anti-Semitic propaganda. And in fact, if you look in the Medrash, there's a fascinating letter. It writes the whole nusach of how he twisted the whole description of history to describe how evil the Jews are and how they needed to be destroyed. It's mamish like a prototype of reminiscent of the Nazi propaganda against Klai Yisrael that Haman was writing in his letters to destroy Klai Yisrael. So what did he tell Achashverosh? He told them, Yesh no amechad mefuzar mefuran, there's a nation that's scattered around, therefore they won't be able to gather together and to defend themselves. Bein ha'amim, b'chol medinos malchusecha, they're scattered in all the medinos of your malchus, meaning that they're all within your malchus, therefore if we make a concerted effort and one chance, we can kill all the Jews in one try. V'datem shonos mikol am, they're different, they don't fit in, they do things differently than we do. They don't follow your regulations. They don't respect your laws. It's not kedai for you to keep them around. It's not financially beneficial to the Medina. They don't serve any important purpose. It's kedai to destroy them. Okay, so that's how he approached Achashverosh and convinced him with rational arguments why he should destroy them. Okay, now on another level, the kitrug of Haman was also a kitrug lamala. He was also saying a reason spiritually why the time was auspicious to destroy Klal Yisrael. First of all, it says, Yeshno amechad. Yeshno, the Chazal Darshan is a lashon of yeshenim. So there's two drashas. One is that they're yeshenim, that they're sleeping from the mitzvos, that they're not alive, they're not awake to doing mitzvos. And the corresponding drash is that their God is sleeping. He tied to ki'ilu that Hashem was sleeping. What does it mean, sleeping? That there's no hashkacha pratis. That Hashem left the world on autopilot. He's not intervening. And therefore, now is the time to act. Okay? The other kitruv he said against Klal Yisrael is, he said that yesh amechad mefuzaru mefurad ben amin. They're scattered. Okay? So the kitruv against Klal Yisrael was the lack of achdus. We're going to see this is going to be a major theme in the Megillah, is that the whole tsar came about because Klal Yisrael did not have achdus. And then we're going to see that the Hatzalah and the celebration all relates to the reconnecting of Klai Yisrael with Achdus. Okay. Im al melech tov, yikasev la'abdam. So therefore, if the melech agrees, we should write an edict to destroy them. Baseres alafim kikar kasev eshkol yidei osei ha'melecha. I'll give you 10,000 kikar kasev. Lahavi al Ginzei HaMelech, to bring to the Ginzei HaMelech. The cheshbon was that it's a cheshbon, if you make a cheshbon of the Shishim Rebo, the number of Klai Yisrael, that he was kiilu covering the loss of revenues from taxes, that I'll pay you for whatever you would get from the tax money. But now, it's important to notice that Haman didn't spell out explicitly. He said that there is a nation. He never spelled out explicitly to Achashverosh who it was that he wanted to kill. Okay? So it's going to be a bit unclear to what extent Achashverosh is an accomplice in this edict. Okay, so the next passage we see, Vayasar Melch has Tabasu Me'al Yado. He took off his signet ring. Vayina Wahaman Ben Hamdasa Agagi Tzorer Hayudim. And he gave it to Haman, the Jew hater. Okay, so there seems to be a remez here. That what's it say? That if everyone knows that Haman is known as Haman the Jew hater, so if he's asking to destroy a nation, so obviously Achashverosh knew to put two and two together and figure out that he was trying to destroy the Jews. So it seems that Haman was playing some kind of a game that he didn't want to spell it out explicitly. He wanted to leave Achashverosh the a teret that he shouldn't be implicated in the plot. So he leaves Achashverosh an excuse. Oh, he could always say, I didn't realize. But Ali ben Emes, he really knew what was going on because it was clear that was what Haman was after. He said, Ad Rabbi, you can keep the money and do whatever you want, meaning that he was perfectly happy with Haman's plot to kill the Jews. So the Sofer HaMelech, the scribes, wrote this edict, and they sent it out to the Sari HaMelech Ba'al Pachos, Asher Al Medina Medina, Sari Am Ba'am Medina Medina Kil Ksavam Ba'am Am Kol Shonam. They sent it to each nation in their way. B'Shem HaMelech Achashverosh Nichtav V'Nechtam B'Tabas HaMelech. It was written as if it was in the name of Achashverosh, and it was signed with the royal signet ring, giving it the royal authority. V'Nishwa Sfarim B'Yad Arati, they were sent in the hands of the runners, El Kol Medinos HaMelech, Lashmid laharug labi, to destroy all the Jews. That's called Yehudi Minarva Adzakin Taf and Ashim, men and women, old and young. Biyom echad b'shlosha asar uchodesh neimasar uchodesh adar ushalam laboz, and to take the spoil, to take their money. Okay, the Grub points out three aspects of destruction. Lahashmid a lashon of shmad is always a lashon of taking away their ruchnias, taking away their religion. Laharog is to kill them, is to take away their actual vitality, their actual life force. Ula'aved is to actually cremate the bodies, to destroy the bodies, to get rid of the evidence. Okay? And besides that, to take away their money, to confiscate their money, that their possessions also, that there shouldn't be any remnant of Klal Yisrael. Pascheg naksav linasin das, b'chol medina u'medina, the message that was written to give the edict to each nation, revealed to all the nations to be prepared for this day. Okay, here's another intricacy that the Gra explains in the Megillah. He says that there were two different letters that were sent. The first letter was sent that was Galui L'chol Ha'amim, that was open, revealed, and that message was very vague. The content of that message was just Lios Asidim L'yom Hazeh. Everyone be prepared. Something big is going to happen on the 13th. Everyone should gather together, be prepared, get your weapons ready, whatever it is, be prepared. There's going to be something big going on. Haratzim yatsu duchupim bidvar ha-melech, v'adas nidna b'shushan rabi. That's as opposed to the previous message, which said, l'hashmi l'harub u'la'abed, that was brought only to the sarin. That was delivered only to, 1 second. Okay, what's the lashon? It says El Achashtar B'nei HaMelech V'Alapachos. Okay, those were the noblemen and the rulers of each country. They received the explicit instructions, but the general population, they didn't want it to be known in advance. They want an element of surprise, or it could be there's an aspect that they didn't want Klal Yisrael to know, to daven for their Hatzalah. He wanted to be keeping a secret except for the elite people who found out about it. Haratim yatsu duchupim bidvar ha-melech, v'adas nisna b'shushan ha-bira. The ratzim went out, rushed to deliver the edict, and the das, the edict was revealed in Shushan ha-bira. V'amelech v'aman yashu lishtos. The king and Haman sat down to drink. V'ayir Shushan Navocha, and the city of Shushan was in confusion. Okay, the Gra explains why confusion? Because of the misinformation, because not everyone understood exactly what was going on. The revealed messages were only saying something very vague, and therefore there were shmuas going on about what it was, but no one really knew, and therefore the main thing, not only the fear, but there was the first thing that was spreading was confusion in Shushan. Okay? And the Melech and Haman, it shows their hard-heartedness that they were sitting to drink and relaxed and enjoying themselves, knowing that they had just sent out a decree to destroy an entire nation. Okay, time for a break. To be continued. Anyone who's still up, we're gonna.
How many did you bring up?
Yeah.
Be back as quick as possible. Not more than 10. Okay, Perek Dalad. Okay, Mordechai Yada es kol asher nasa. Mordechai knew everything that had been done. Okay, the emphasis got from Mordechai. Understood exactly what the Gzeira was because he was a minister and therefore he had the inside information about the hidden decree that said explicitly what exactly was going on, as opposed to the general population who just saw the general decree. Vayikra Mordechai es begadav, he tore his clothes. Vayilvash sak ve'efer, he dressed in sackcloth and put ashes on his head. Vayetze betoch ha'ir. Vayizak za'aka gedol amar, and he put out a tremendous cry, trying to awaken Klal Yisrael to do tshuva, to appreciate the severity of the gzeira against them. Vayavo ad lifnei shar ha'mel, he came up until the entrance to the gate. Ki ein lavo al shar ha'mel belushak, because he couldn't actually come into the shar ha'mel where the judges were in sackcloth because it wasn't covered to the king. B'chol medino medino b'chol asher dvar ha'melech v'daso magia evil gadol yehudim v'tzonu b'chim mispein shak v'efer yitzal ravi. Okay, so as the nation, as the decree reached the further nations, each nation, as they were informed of the gzeira against the Jews, they joined in the sackcloth and ashes and the avelus over the danger of the decree. But tavona naros Esther v'sarisa v'yagidu wa, that the servant, the maid servants and the servants of the queen came to Esther and revealed to her the gzeira against Klal Yisrael. Batiskalchal Malcolm Ode, she became very upset, very distraught by the news. Batishlach begadim lahalvish as Mordechai, lahasur sakum yalam v'lokivu. Okay, so she sent him clothing to change. So the implication being that she wanted him to come into the Beis HaMalkus so that she could discuss with him the situation. The Gra says that he refused to take off his sackcloth and ashes. Even for a brief time, it says that he didn't want to separate himself from the suffering of Klal Yisrael. That even just as a hechad tinsug to go into the palace and talk to Esther, he wouldn't take off his sak ve'efer. Vatikra Esther lahasach misari sam melech asher hamid lefanav atetzaveu al Mordechai. So she told Hasach, or her trusty servant, who Chazal say was Daniel. So she sent him as a private emissary to go and discuss the matter with Mordechai. Ladas mazeh v'al mazeh, to understand what it is and why it is. Right? Two things. Mazeh v'al mazeh. In other words, first of all, to understand what was going on, that she didn't, she hadn't seen the hidden decree that was sent to the rulers. So she didn't understand exactly what he was so upset about. And also, Almazeh, she wanted him, with his Das Torah, to assess the situation, to explain to her what was the meanness, what was going on here, why was there a tzara for Klal Yisrael. Vayetze Hasach el Mordechai, el Rechov Ha'ir, asher lifnei shar ha'melech. So Hasach went to meet Mordechai in the street in front of the shar. Vayage lo Mordechai es kol asher karahu, ve'ez parsha sakeshev asher amar haman, lishko al gizei ha'melech, by Yehudim la'abdem. So he told Hasach at Kol Asher Karau everything that had happened. Okay, so here he was merames to Esther that you have to understand what we're up against. That we're up against the koach of Karahu, right? Karahu is the koach of Amalek, Asher Karchav Aderech, that views the world as Mikra. So he said he wanted to impress upon Esther the severity of the Gzeira, that it's that we're up against our arch enemy, right? That it's Amalek is back trying to get Klal Yisrael, It's the koach of Karau. The ace parashas a kesef, and she told him about the kesef, the fact that he's willing, that Haman is willing to be moser nefesh, he's willing to give all of his riches for the destruction of Klal Yisrael, shows his determination, and therefore the danger that puts Klal Yisrael in. Ves pashegin ksav adas, asher nitan b'shusha lahashmidam nasan lo, laharos as Esther lahagidwa. So he gave him this is the hidden message, the message that only the Sarim received. That message he gave a copy to Hasach to deliver to Esther so that she could see with her own eyes the explicit nature of the Gzeira against Klal Yisrael. In order to convince her, to command her to go in front of the Melech to plead on behalf of her nation. What? It's a lashon of a decree in Egypt. Okay. Vayavo Hasach, Vayagi Lester, Ace Dibre Mordechai, so he transferred that message to Esther. Vatomer Esther Lasach, the Tetzeveo al Mordechai, so she sent a message back to Mordechai. So this is what she said. Okay. Ko Avdei HaMelech Ve'am Medinos HaMelech, Yodim Asher Kol Ish Ve'isha, Asher Yavo al HaMelech El HaChatzer HaPnimi, Asher Lo Yikare Achas Dasolamis. So she emphasized, she says, everybody knows, Kol Avdei HaMelech Ve'am Medinos, everyone knows that anyone who goes to the king without an invitation is Achas Dasolamis. There's only one decree. There's no question that they're going to be killed. The only escape is if he holds out the Sharbid Azav, then the person will live. But the pasht is, unless something unusual happens, is anyone who goes in without an invitation is killed. And she emphasized the public nature of this decree. And therefore, she said that it'll be unlikely that Achashverosh is going to have mercy, because we know that he's worried about his reputation, his kavod, and therefore anything that is well known, he's going to be less likely to be mochel. Ve'anin lo nikresi lavo al melech zeh shloshim yom. And I haven't been called to the melech for 30 days. Okay. Now there are two different mahalchim in what she was saying here about 30 days. The simple pshat, the grus says that she was telling him that it's been a while since I was called to the melech. So let's be patient. I'm sure that he'll call me soon. So what's the rush? Why should I endanger myself? And also, we're going to see the ruchnius aspect of why should I be the one to initiate going to the melech? Let's just be patient and wait until he calls me. Okay, that's one pshat. There's another pshat that says that she was saying I haven't been called for 30 days. Therefore, I'm nervous that I've lost favor in the king's eyes. That now is dafka not a good time to go, because I'm worried that he's angry with me because he hasn't called me for 30 days. So therefore, she said, let's not rush into this. Let's wait and see what happens. So this message was sent back. The Chazal actually say here it just says Yagidu. It doesn't say Hasach. Right? He kept saying Hasach was bringing the messages. They say that Haman picked up on what was going on here. He saw that Hasach was a courier for Esther, and therefore he had him killed. So that's why Hasach drops out of the picture. Vayagidu Mordechai Ace Dibre Esther, Vayomer Mordechai Lahashiv El Esther, Al Tidami Benafsheich Lihimalei Beis HaMelech Mikol Yehudim. So he sent back a message saying, don't think that you're going to escape in the Beis HaMalchus from all the Jews. Okay, now this sounds like a very strange answer, right? She was giving him a very rational answer. She was saying, look, it's not a good time. Let's be patient. Let's see what happens, right? So he sends back, don't think that you're going to escape and everyone else is going to be killed and you'll be safe. Okay, so the pshat seems to be that he was talking, what he was telling her was that I hear that you're no geah b'davar. In other words, you're not a fair judge of the situation, because you have a negiah that you want to be saved. Even though that's not what you're claiming, you're not explicitly saying, just leave me alone, I want to stay out of this and be saved. But he's saying that you can't judge the matter because you have a negiah that you want to save your own life. Because if you keep quiet at this time, that Hatzalah will come to Klal Yisrael from a different place, and you and your family will be destroyed. Okay? Now, Lechora, why would her family be destroyed? If there's going to be a Revach Vatzala mi Makom Acher, so then Esther will also survive. Why would she be destroyed? So let's read one more pasuk. It says, "Umi yodea im la'eis kazos higat l'malchut." Who knows? Perhaps this is the whole reason why you came to the Malchus. Okay, so just trying to remember who says this. So is this also in the Gra? One second. I forget who says the chapter. I saw in the Malchus that what it's saying is that if your whole tafkid in the world is to save Klal Yisrael in this situation, so if you don't fulfill your role, then adu be'savich tovedu, then you're going to be destroyed because you gave up your whole purpose to existence. Now, he's saying, this is your mission, this is what you're here for. If a person has a specific mission, that this is what they're meant for, and they shirk that responsibility, then they have they no longer have a place. So even if Klal Yisrael is saved, but you passed up your opportunity, and therefore you'll cease to exist. Okay? Now, very basic yesod in Emunah here, that we see Revach Vatzal Yamud Vayudim Mimakom Acher, that Klal Yisrael doesn't depend on the actions of any one individual. That the Hashkacha Pratis over Klal Yisrael is such that there's a Havtacha that Klal Yisrael will survive and will reach the ultimate Shlemus Yemos HaMashiach, and that no individual Bechira could possibly stand in the way. So he's telling her that you're set up in a situation, that you can be a messenger for the salvation of Klal Yisrael, but don't think that Klal Yisrael is dependent on it. Okay, yeah, you have a question?
Yeah, how can Mordechai tell Esther she's an Ogei Abadar? He's just as much an Ogei Abadar.
Why?
Because he also wants to get saved. That's what this whole thing's speaking about. He's also trying to get saved. So how is he telling her she's an Ogei Abadar? He's just he's under just as much pressure to get saved.
Huh?
She thinks she's going to get saved because she's
right,
the king.
Right. She thinks that she's out of the whole picture, so she wants to just stay out. He's saying that we're all in danger. Now we have to think, what's the best way to get out of danger?
But he's
that's not the same type of Nigiyah. She has Nigiyah in a specific decision. Everyone, of course, it affects everyone. They think that it's affecting her decision because she wants one outcome more than another. She would prefer to maintain her anonymity. Anonymity. Yeah. Okay. The Vatomer Esther Lahashiv El Mordechai. So Esther said to send the message to Mordechai. Okay, if this is my mission, if this is what you want me to do, I'm willing to do it. But with Knosses Kol Yehudim, first go and gather together all of the Jews. Hanimsa Bishushan Habir Vitzuma Alai. Okay, so the first thing, very important, yesod in the Megillah. Rav Kook points this out, that the whole danger came about as a result of the kitruk of Yesh Am Echad Mefozer Muforad. So now this is the turning point where things start to turn around in the Megillah, where you start to see how the Hatzalah is going to take place. The first step is Lech Knosses Kol Yehudim. The first thing is you have to gather together Klal Yisrael. You have to create Achdus of Klal Yisrael. That's the beginning of how Klal Yisrael can overcome this Gzeira, is by gathering together and Sumolai and fast and make it a day of Tefillah and Tshuva. That's what's going to enable us. We'll do what we have to do, our Hishtadlus, but it has to be in the framework of trying to do tshuva and daven for that soul. Tishu shloshes yamim laila the yom, 3 days, day and night, 3 full days of fasting. Gam ani v'naro sa'asum kain, I and my servants will also fast for these 3 days. Uvechena avo al melech asher lo kadas, and then I'll go to the melech asher lo kadas, which is not appropriate, which simply means against the regulations, I'll break the laws of the government by going to the king. But also, Chazal say that there's a connotation that here it's Shalok HaHalacha, that here's the first time that she's initiating contact with Achashverosh, that until now we said that she's always Vatil Lakach, she was always taken by Onas, and therefore it was always a Heter, right? There's no Yarek Val Yavor because it's Karka Olam and all the different stars, right? This year, the whole Shir. But now it's Shalok Hadas. Now I'm initiating, and therefore bipashtus, it shouldn't be mutter. The Mepharshim say that either it was there's a getter of Avera Lishma, or there was a Horas Shah with Sorah Hatzal of Klal Yisrael, that there was, whatever it was, obviously it was the correct shikul that Mordechai told her that this was appropriate for, this is what she should do, but technically it was Be'isr. But Hashir Avadati, Avadati, and as I've been lost, I will be lost, which Chazal Darshan, that I'm going to be separated from you. That because I'm going now Beratzon, therefore it's going to be it's going to be create an Isser, Lebo'al Isser, but Lebo'al, that it'll be Asr for her to return to her husband Mordechai. Okay, this gets into the issue that even though there was some heter for her to go, that there's still an aspect, it gets into Achronish Torahs, there's a Marik, that it's Mala Bo Mal, that Lamaisa, since she initiated, even if there was a heter of Tzorach Shah, but Lamaisa, it was going against her husband, it's being unfaithful to her husband, and therefore it does create the Yisrael Baal, even though there might have been a heter. Vayavor Mordechai Vayask Chosher Tzivsa Alav Esther, and Mordechai went ahead and did what Esther commanded him, and Vayavor is a Lashon of Avera, that he had a tainus on Pesach and he didn't do the mitzvahs of the Leil HaSeder because he saw that this was the Tzorach HaShah to have this tainus and time of tefillah to prepare for Esther going to the king. Okay, you have a question?
Yeah, so we like to say the reason for the mitzvahs because it's very old that the mission of the four things and together then the Leil HaSeder.
Yeah, it could be that aspect. The point I was making was specifically the aspect that obviously that's part of the Ruchnius Tikkun is creating Achdus, which we know that there's a tremendous Koach Achdus against the Kitrud, that it says that even if all of Klal Yisrael would be Ovid Avodah Zarah, the Medrash says that there wouldn't be a Kitrud against them as long as there's Achdus between them. So that was essential to overcoming the Zarah. In what way? you say on a practical, right? Exactly. That's what I'm saying. On a ruchnius level, exactly. Vayhi bayom hashlishi vatilbash Esther malchus. Okay, on the third day of the fast, right? You can imagine what Esther looks like after fasting, not eating and drinking for 3 days, right? And she wore malchus. As I'll say, she was covered with ruach hakodesh. She exuded ruach hakodesh. Vatamud b'chatzar beis hamelach apnimis nochach beis hamelach. She stood opposite the beis hamelach without actually having entered. V'hamelach yoshev al kisei malchuso beveis hamalchus nochach pesach bais. So the Gra points out that there was a tremendous hashkacha pratis here, that the melach was sitting on the kisei malchus, which was in the beis hamalchus nochach pesach bais, opposite the pesach. In other words, he wasn't in the normal. In the normal throne in the inner chambers, that he was sitting on his outer throne that was just opposite the entrance, in a way that he saw her before she even had to risk the chance of entering. Vayikiros Amalek as Esther Amalka Omedes Bachatzer Nasachem Beinav. As soon as he saw her in the distance, even before she came in, she found favor in his eyes. Vayoshen Amalek, and obviously this is all supernatural, that on the third day of fasting, that she still seemed beautiful. Then Vayoshen Amalek, wa Esther, Eshravita Zahav, Asher Biyado, Vatikrav, Esther, Vatiga Barosh HaSharvit. And she came forward, and she touched the Sharvit, and that was his sign of showing that she found favor in his eyes, and she was allowed to enter. Vayomer la Amalek, Malach Esther Hamalka, Umagba Kashaseich, what can I do for you, Esther Hamalka? And what is your request? Ad chatzia malchus v'yinasim lach. Up till half of the malchus, I am willing to give your request. Okay? The emphasis, the Gra points out, that he asks first malach, what do you ask for yourself? Uma bakashase, what is your request? Meaning, if you have a request on behalf of someone else, if you want to appeal to the king on behalf of someone else, I'm also willing to fulfill that. Vatomer Esther, imal amelach tov yavo amelach v'haman, hayom el hamishta, Asher Asisi Lo. I invite the king and Haman to come to the Mishta, which I made for him. Okay. Now, obvious question is, why was Haman invited to the Mishta? What was Esther thinking when she invited Haman? Okay. So, one aspect, there's a Chazal that says Chazal say they bring, I think I forget, I think it was like 7 or 8 different pshatim in what she was thinking when she invited Haman. And the Gemara ends off, it says, and what was she really thinking? It says that they asked Eliyahu HaNavi what she was really thinking, and he told them she had all of them in mind. She had all of these different cheshbonos, all entered into her calculation. So one shot they say is that she wanted to make Haman, she wanted to make Ahasuerus jealous. The fact that she was showing favor to Haman, she wanted Ahasuerus to think that there was something going on between Esther and Haman. The Lashon of the Gemara says that he'll kill me and him. In other words, he thought she would be jealous and kill both Esther and Haman, thinking that there was a relationship going on there, and by doing that, she would get rid of Haman. Okay. Another aspect it says is that she wanted him to be on the scene. Like we see at the end, that it was in his anger he acted at the moment. If he had thought things out coolly, he might have come to a different conclusion and reconsidered. So she wanted Haman to be right there, that she could point at him and say, this is the guy, and he could make the decree on the spot. Okay. There's another shot that it says that she wanted to invite Haman Dafka because all the Jews were all sitting back and thinking, well, okay, it looks pretty bad, but we know that we have an ace up our sleeve because Esther is really Jewish and she's the queen, and we know that she's going to take care of us in the end. So therefore, she made a cheshbon that they weren't really davening with all their heart because they were so much on the fact that she was going to save them. And therefore, she wanted to invite Haman to make it look like she was in league with Haman so that the Jews would really be miyayish, and then they would daven, they would be miyayish al derech hishtadlus, and they would really daven with their full heart. Okay, so those are three of the pshatim that are brought, what she was thinking inviting Haman to the party. Vayomer, Hamelech, Maru es Haman, Lazos es Dvar Esther, Vayavo Hamelech Vahaman, Elamishta Asher Asa Esther. So he sent to bring Haman quickly, and they came to the party. Vayomer Hamelech Esther b'mishta hayayin, ma she laseich v'yinasin lach, umaba kashaseich, an chatzi ha-malchus v'seyas. Again, he offered her that both her she'ela on behalf of herself and her bakasha on behalf of others, he would fulfill. Vatan Esther v'tomar she'ela si u'bakashasi, that my request, I have both a request, yet it's true, I do have a request for myself and a bakasha for others, I have both. So again, she invited him to another party. She said, if you want to fulfill my request is that you come to another party tomorrow. What was she delaying? Why didn't she come out with it right on the spot? Okay, I'm sorry. By the way, I just wanted to point out, another thing to keep in perspective when we learn the Megillah is that the setup from Perek Aleph until Perek Hay took us 12 years, okay? But now from Perek Hay to the end of the Megillah, everything happens in 3 days, okay? We're going to see that everything from one scene to the next is all rush, from one thing to another. Everything takes, the whole Hatzalah is a complete turnaround from day to night, instantaneously. Okay? So, the... What? Right. Okay? So now, why didn't she come out with it right away? Why did she put it off for another day? So, so one mahalach is that she was waiting for a sign. In other words, she didn't feel confident. She wanted some sign to show her that there was a hashkacha, that things were turning around, that things were moving in the right direction, and that's what we're going to see in a minute, that in between the two parties is the whole scene with Mordechai being given the kavod and Haman being put down, and that gave her the confidence to see that the hashkacha is going in her favor and to come out with the request. Okay, another mahalach alpi, the idea that she was working on this jealousy of the king, is that it was day after day to keep it showing favor to Haman, that was building on his insecurity and making him more and more jealous and angry and confused, so that when the time came, he would be ready to kill Haman. Yeah.
Based on this and on the first answer, then why was there a third party?
What?
If she was waiting for a son, was there a third party?
Two parties. Huh? What?
Oh, there's two parties?
Two parties.
All right.
You could also say the other reason of the Jews wanted Jews out of the heart of that party at all.
Right, because right, looking at that answer, right. Also, it was being, it was pushing that further. Good. Okay. Vayetze Haman Bayomahu, Sameach Mitov Leib. Okay, so how does Haman feel after being invited to the special party together with the king and queen, no one else, the whole guest list, just the king and queen and Haman, the highest servant in the country, and he's called again to the next night, he's singled out for this special party, so he comes out feeling Sameach Mitov Leib, right? At the top of the world. V'chiros Haman as Mordechai v'shar ha-melech, v'lokam v'lozam imenu, v'yimalei Haman al Mordechai chema. And then, just as he's feeling the top of the world, he comes out, and there's Mordechai standing at the Shar HaMelech, and not only does he not bow down to him, lokam v'lozam imenu. He doesn't stand up, and he doesn't lozai, he doesn't even flinch. He doesn't even show, right, it's like a person who feels like defiant, so like he'll like bedavka like clench up and like no I'm not moving right. He said Mordechai was just sitting there completely at ease. He felt it's the koach of a Talmud Chacham when he knows he's doing the right thing. This is the Ratzon Hashem. He's completely has bitachon that everything will be fine. He doesn't feel intimidated in any way by Haman. And that just, not only the fact that he wouldn't stand up, but that he wasn't even intimidated by Haman, that fills Haman with the ultimate rage. Vayisapak Haman, that Haman had to hold himself back. He wouldn't just go and strangle Mordechai on the street. Vayavo el beso, and he came to his house. Vayishlach vayeve es oavav ves zeresh ishto. So he sent the servants to bring his loved ones, and Zeresh Ishto, right? So we see the relationship there. There's some problems going on that Zeresh is excluded from Oavav. So he needed to spill the beans to tell his family about what's going on. Haman es kvod ashro. So he started ranting and raving. He started telling them all about how glorious he is and how wonderful he is. Verov banav and his big family. Veis kol asher gidlo amelech. And how the king had raised him up. Veis asher niso al asarim v'abi amelech. And how he raised him above all the other sarim. Vayomer haman af lo hivya esra malka im amelech el amishta asher aza ki mosi. And his crowning glory, right? The pinnacle of his grandeur that he was called to this private party. V'gam l'macharani karo la im amelech. V'kol zayin enu shavili. Right? And what is his attitude? Kol zayin enu shavili. It's all erased. It's all nullified. The whole thing, all that glory is worth nothing. B'chol eis asher ani roas Mordechai Ayudi Yoshev b'shar ha-melech. When a person wants kavod, something that's pagan is kavod, that destroys everything. Even if he has 99, he has the greatest kavod in the whole world, the one person who's not showing him kavod, that ruins his entire attitude. V'tomer lo zeresh ishto b'chol avav yasu eitz gavoa chamishim ama. So he said, so Zeresh, Ishto, Bechol, Oavav, again, I excluded from Oavav, Yas, wait, so, right, so who makes the calls in this house, right? He goes to Zeresh, and Zeresh tells him, this is what you have to do, you go make an eitz, right? She's calling the shots, right? Now we see why he was so concerned about the women getting too authoritative, because that's how the dynamics ran in his house. Okay? So she says, this is what you do, you go make a tree, 50 amas high. 50 amas, that's pretty tall. Right? A person is right, maybe 3 amas tall. So what does he need a tree 50 amas high? So the Gra explains that he wanted to make sure that it was high enough that you could see it from the Beis HaMalchus. That every time that Haman was with Ahasuerus in the royal court, that he should be able to look out and get nachas from seeing Mordechai dangling up there on his 50 amma tree, which we're going to see was essential to the hashkacha of bringing about the downfall of Haman.
How long do you think
you're going to
keep up with
him? Huh? As long as he wants. Gavo amak. Yeah.
Wait, Zeresh still, you know, made the calls even after this law came out?
Apparently, that's some things are just, that's the dynamics. There's not much you can do about it. Okay, but Boker, so she tells him, build this 50 amma tree. Vaboger Amor Lamelch, Vayitu as Mordechai, go first thing in the morning and tell the king to hang Mordechai. I love Uvoi Mamelch El Amishta Sameach. And then you'll go to the Mishta and you'll be able to enjoy the Mishta because you know that you've taken care of Mordechai. Vayita Vadavar Lidmi Amad, Vayasa Eitz. It found favor in his eyes and he made the Eitz. Yeah.
So you want to do Mordechai in the next day?
Exactly. That's what we're going to see. Yeah, that's coming up. Okay. Okay. Balailahu. Okay. That night, Nadada Shnasa Melech. The Melech had insomnia, right? He couldn't fall asleep. Why couldn't he fall asleep? Okay. So you could take the supernatural that there was Ashkacha Pratis that he couldn't fall asleep so that they would bring the Sefer Zichronos. Or you could take a rational approach that he's got a lot of things to mull over, right? What's going on here? The queen, she's inviting Haman. What does she have? What's going on with the queen and Haman? What is she going to ask for? What are these bakashas that are so important to her? Right? There's a lot of things going around in his mind. It's very, very rational that he would have a hard time falling asleep with all of these thoughts floating around. So what was the solution? It makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. He'll bring the journal with all of the events that happened in the Malchus and read these to him to help him try to sort things out, to try to figure out, is there somebody who he owes a favor to that Esther is going to ask him to do something for? And the Gra says that he wanted to preempt Esther. In other words, he figured that there must be somebody who Esther is going to come and make a claim that he should do something on behalf of someone. So he wants to cover all of his bases so that when she asks, if she's going to ask for something really big, he'll say, oh no, I already took care of it. I already paid up all my debts. I don't owe anyone anything. So that was part of what he was thinking, is how do I cover all my bases that she shouldn't have a claim against me, that she should have a right to demand something. So he came upon this event that Mordechai had, right, it was written B'Shem Mordechai, because right, she had told the B'Shem Mordechai that he had revealed the plot. What greatness have we shown for Mordechai for what he did for me? And now he starts to see the pieces fitting together. Maybe she's going to come and say, Mordechai, we know that Mordechai, she has a kesher with Mordechai. So she's going to say, Mordechai, you owe him a favor. Why don't you appoint him to be, you know, some top minister, give him a lot of money. So what have we done to make sure that we've covered all of our obligations to Mordechai? We haven't done anything for Mordechai. So at that point, all of a sudden you hear somebody out in the chatzar, right? It's the wee hours of the morning, right? Haman obviously didn't have the guts to step into to Ahasuerus, you know, wake him up while he's still in his pajamas. So he's waiting outside b'chatzar until the king wakes up and he'll be called in. So he hears somebody b'chatzar. He says, "Mi b'chatzar?" V'Haman ba'al b'chatzar beis hamelch hachitzona lemor lamelch litvot es Mordechai aleitz. Right? What did he come for? He came to ask Ahasuerus to hang Mordechai. Asher heichin, well, the tree that Haman had prepared for Mordechai. Vayomru nare amelach, Ewav, hine Haman ome b'chatzar. So they said, here, Haman is waiting in the chatzar. Vayomru amelach yavo. So they called Haman in to consult with him. Vayavo Haman. Haman came into Ahasuerus. Vayomru lo amelach. Right before, obviously, Haman's agenda was he wanted to come and tell him to kill Mordechai, right? So if he had come out and spit it out right away, you know, I came to tell you you should kill Mordechai, so things might have developed very differently. But what happens? The Ahasuerus starts the conversation, right? He starts off, he says, Ma la'asos be'ish asher melech chafetz b'yikar. What should we do for a person who the king wants to give glory to them? Vayomer Haman b'livo, Haman thought to himself, L'miyachotz ha'melech la'asos yikar yoser mimeni. Who would Hashem want to show more glory to than myself? Who we see that he was singled out. He was raised up above all the Sarim. He was invited to the feast with Esther. He thinks he's on top of the world. So he thinks that obviously the Melch must be wanting to do me a favor. So Haman thought, what would I appreciate right? It's like the kid who buys a baseball glove for his mother for Mother's Day, right? Because he figures, well, what do I want, right? So Haman thinks, well, what would I want if somebody was giving me a present? I would want them to show me all kinds of kitzoni kavod, right? What does he want? He doesn't want anything that has substance or meaning in life. He just wants externalities. So what does he say? Isha asher amel chavetz biyakaro yavu levush malchus asher lavash bo amelach. They should bring the clothing of the melech asher lavash bo amelach that the melech wore. V'sus asher rachav alav amelach v'asher nitan kaser malchus barosho. Okay, there's two ways of reading this. One way of reading it is, and also to put the kaser malchus on his head. Okay, and then the pasuk goes on. V'nason alavush v'asus al yad ish misari amelach. Hapartamim v'obisho esayisha asher amelach kavetz biyakaro. Let's just go a bit further, then we'll go back. So he says, yeah, take the lulush and the sus. But what got left out is the crown. Okay, so the Rishonim point out that Haman said that you should let this person wear the crown of the king. Now that's a real chutzpah. Right? Because who wears the crown of the king? Only the king, right? To put the crown on someone else is ki'ilu saying that they're the king. So that's where Ahasuerus put an end to it. He said, okay, ad kan. Okay, you want the lavush, the sus, fine. But you're not wearing, I'm not giving out the crown. Okay? So that's the simple shot. Now, there's another way of reading it. Vasher nitan kesar malchus brosho means on the day of the anointment. In other words, it's saying, dress him and have him ride the sus that were worn, the clothes that were worn and the sus that was used on the day of the coronation. Okay, now obviously he's saying that this should be done to show kavod for the person who you want to show kavod for. Now again, keeping in mind that Ahasuerus is a suspicious person and he's a very power hungry ruler. Now, this is getting dangerously close. If Ahasuerus had some inkling of what Haman was saying, so it's very possible that he'd be starting to get nervous that Haman is planning a coup. In other words, if you go parading around in the clothes that the king wore on the coronation and asking for the crown possibly, right? So it looks very much like you're about to go and declare yourself to be the king. So possibly part of this whole intrigue going on here is that Ahasuerus was also starting to get nervous that Haman was trying to take over his authority and take the malchus away from him. Okay, so that might have played into the instability that he had at the last moment when he came to his decision to kill Haman. Okay, so now anyway, so what did we say? So Haman now has this tremendous Nafohu, right, that he thought he was coming to give advice to kill Mordechai, and here he's given the instructions to give this ultimate kavod to Mordechai. Okay, so it says, that they should announce that this is what we do for people who the king wants to glorify as a way of increasing the loyalty of the servants in Shushan. Again, everything here is done quickly. It says right away, I don't want to waste time because I want this to be done before I go to the Mishnah tonight with Esther. Take the sus as kasher divarta vasei chen leMordechai Yehudi Yosef b'shar haMelech. Al tapel davar mikol asher divarta. Everything exactly the way you said it. You have to do this and you have to personally take charge of doing this for Mordechai. Vayikach Haman es alavush ves es sus vayalvish es Mordechai. He took the lavush and the sus and he had the embarrassing job of having to show all this kavod to Mordechai. Vayarkiveru b'chor vayir vayikra l'fan of kachi asel isha sheramel chavetz b'kro. He had to declare this is what we should do for a person who the melech is chavetz b'kro. Yeah. What?
Is that
else? Yeah, that was what he wore at the party. That was at the party. That was different clothes.
Vayasha
Mordechai El Shar HaMelech, Vahama Nid. So after having this whole possession, Yasha Mordechai El Shar HaMelech, he went back to the Shar HaMelech, and he returned to his Sak ve'ever, we'll see. V'haman nidchath el beso, avil v'chafui rosh. He returned to his house. He was pushed away. He was rejected. He was embarrassed. In with his head down and is totally cast away. The Chazal say that it was specifically a lashon avelus, that he was an avelus for his daughter, that his daughter, when he saw the procession, thought that it was Mordechai leading Haman, and she dumped the chamber pot on her father, and when she realized what she had done, she jumped from the roof and killed herself. So he was literally the avelus that his daughter had died, and he had been embarrassed in this disgusting way. By his safir Haman was Zeresh Ishto, so again he went home and told Zeresh all of his misfortune, all of the mikra. Again, he says, look at all these chance occurrences, all of these coincidences that happened, that I wanted to kill Mordechai, and now it all turned against me. So now again it mentions, it excludes, it says Chachamav, his wise people, and Zeresh Ishto, again excluding her from the klal. Ishto, imi Zera HaYehudim, Mordechai Asher Hachilosa Limpol Lefanav Lo Tuchalo Ki Nafol Tipol Lefanav. If Mordechai is from the Yehudim, that once you've begun to fall, you're going to continue. In other words, they understood what he didn't understand, that he said, oh, it's just a coincidence, today I had some bad luck. And they said, no, the Jews work totally differently. The Jews are Lamala Mina Mazalos. And if you see that the Klal Yisrael is rising up against you, that there's a simin mina shamayim that shows that Mordechai is regaining his power, then you know that they've overturned the ma'arachos, they've overturned the system of mazalos, and now you have no hope of standing against them. Oda medabrim, they were still speaking, they were still trying to concoct a plan of how to salvage the situation, of how to cut their losses, and salvage the situation. Oda medabri mimo v'sari se amelch higio. Immediately they already came. Right, it was already that night was already going to be the second party. By avhilu avi es Haman, they rushed Haman el amishta asher asa Esther to come to the second party. Okay, so again, from one thing to another, the events are happening at a dramatic pace, reaching the final climax. Okay, now let's just refresh our memory now. We've all heard the story of the Megillah so many times that we take it as a foregone conclusion that, sure, well, Esther was the queen and he loved Esther, so of course, when she said to kill Haman, so of course, you know, the decree was overturned and the Jews were saved. We have to realize what was against us, right? The Chazal say that really Ahasuerus hated the Jews just as much as Haman. And he said, you can keep your money, I'm just as happy that the Jews should be destroyed. Right, and Haman was his top advisor. He was the highest tsar in the whole country. Right, and all of this had been planned and set up. And we have to realize that it was a tremendous upheaval that everything came into play. That at this fateful moment, that he was able to make this decision to turn against Haman and decide in favor of Esther to save Klal Yisrael. Okay, so that was the backdrop. Everything's set up now for this final meeting. Vayavo HaMelech v'Haman, Lishtos in Esther HaMalka. They came to the party to drink with Esther. Vayomer HaMelech v'Esther, Gam Bayom HaSheni, V'mishta Yain Mashi L'Aseth Esther HaMalka, V'tinasin Lach, U'mabakash HaSeth Ad Chatziya Malchus V'Seas. That up until half of the Malchus I'm willing to give you, again, whatever you ask for. V'atan Esther HaMalka V'tomer, okay, so now she puts it all on her own reputation. She says, if you care about me, if matzasi chen, she takes it as a personal thing, if you care about me, tinasen li nafshi b'sheilasi v'amim v'akashasi. So here she finally drops the bomb after all the suspense and build up. She says, you should realize that I'm in danger of being killed. That, like I said, that I have a personal she'ela for myself, my own life, and a bakasha on behalf of, a supplication on behalf of my nation, that they should be saved. Ki nimkarnu ani v'ami, because we have been sold, myself. Again, she puts herself first. In other words, she wants Ahasuerus to look at this as a personal affront to her. She knows Ahasuerus doesn't care about the Jews. He doesn't care if she's going to come and say, oh, the Haman wants to kill the Jews. He'll say, yeah, of course he wants to kill the Jews. I was happy about that, right? But she's putting it all on herself. that I and my nation have been sold. Wahashmi laharug la'abed, to be completely destroyed. Ve'ilu la'avadim ulushfachos nimkarnu ha'karashti, kein ha'tzar shava be'nezek ha'melach, that if we had only been sold as slaves, I would have kept quiet. In other words, she's trying to show the kavod to the king that really I wouldn't want to bother you with such a trivial little thing as being sold as slaves, but this is really serious. Well, might say that he wants to kill us. I have to disturb your menuchas and nefesh to tell you about what's going on. Vayomer Amalek Achashverosh, Vayomer Esther Amalka, Miuzev Ezehu. Who is this person? Asher Melal Livo Lasoskein, who filled his heart, who had such a design to do such a terrible thing. Vatomer Esther Ish Tsarva Oyev, she builds up, it's this terrible evil person. Haman Hara Hazet, right? This Haman, this evil Haman, who's right here in front of us, he's the one who is plotting this. The Haman Nivat Milutne Amalka. And Haman was kicked back, he was like pushed back from in front of the king and the queen, meaning he was like shocked, he was so shocked, he like jumped back, he couldn't believe what was going on. Okay? The Gra points out, he was Nivat Milutne Amalach Vamalka. That the fact that he was in the presence of the Melech and the Malka, that's what caused the greatest confusion for Haman. He was completely stuck. He says that if he was in the presence of the Melech, he would have told the Melech, well, they really are a lousy nation, and really we should kill the Jews, and he would have tried to win him over. And if he was in front of the Malka, he would have said, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't realize, I didn't know it was you, it was just a big mistake, don't worry about it. Right? So either one of them, he would have had some peaceful impediment that he could have said something. But being in the presence of both of them, he was completely stuck. He couldn't turn against the Jews in the presence of Esther. And on the other hand, he couldn't retract what he had said in the presence of the king. So the fact that he was in the presence of both of them completely silenced him. He had no claim that he could make. Okay? Now there's a fascinating medrash that when it says Haman Harazah, when he says who is the evil person who made this decree, Chazal say that she wanted to point at Achashverosh, and a malach came and pushed her hand away and pointed it towards Haman. Okay, now at face value that sounds very strange, because after setting everything up and this whole chachma of how she had the whole scene set, that she was made Achashverosh jealous and angry, and the whole thing was set up perfectly. She's going to tell him it's Haman, and then at the last minute she's going to turn and point and say it's your fault, and she's going to blow the whole thing. He's going to kill her on the spot, and then that's the end of the whole thing. So the Gra says a fascinating thing. The Gra is Mechadish, the principle of a Freudian slip. He says that, of course, Alpi Cheshbon, she knew that she had to tell Achashverosh that it's Haman who wants to kill the Jews and point at Haman. But she, in her mind, knew that Achashverosh was just as bad. And she was thinking the whole time that it's really all Achashverosh's fault and he's a slime and a terrible, disgusting person. And therefore, she was thinking about Achashverosh, and she accidentally slipped at the last moment and pointed at Achashverosh instead, and the Malach came and saved her and pushed her hand towards Haman, which was what she had originally been planning on doing in the first place. Yeah?
Why does Achashverosh have to ask you, is it
why didn't he know? Because he didn't know that she was Jewish. That was the whole point. It was kept secret. What? How many decrees had there been in Echanami? If he was smart, he probably should have figured it out. But at this point was the point that all the pieces are put together, and it all of a sudden it hits him that it is in fact Esther. Okay, so now what happens? So Melech kam bechamaso mimishte ayayin el dinas abisan. So in his anger, Achashverosh gets up from the mishte and he goes out into the courtyard. The Haman. Right, so what's he doing? He's going to cool off a little bit, right? He's learned that he's not always so smart to act based on his temper, that he has to take it easy and think things through a little bit. So he's going out to get some fresh air, to calm down. The Haman Amad Levakish Al Nafsho. So Haman thought this is his opportunity to go and supplicate in front of Esther that she should pardon him. May Esther Hamalka, Ki Ra, Ki Chalsa Elav Hara. He saw that he was coming to the conclusion of the evil against him, meaning that he was reaching his end, Me'es HaMelech, that the Melech was going to decree against him, and therefore he thought maybe Esther he could win over to have mercy on him. V'HaMelech Shav Miginas Abisan, the Melech came back from his walk, El Beis Mishta Ayayin, and what does he see? V'Haman Nofel Al Mita. He sees Haman falling on the Mita, Asher Esther Ala, which Esther is sitting on. V'Yomer HaMelech. How does Melech react to this scene? Hagam Lichbosh as Amal Ge'imi Babayis. Are you also going to attack to take the Malka here in the royal palace in front of me, right? All the suspicions that he's been developing of some relationship going on between Esther and Haman, and here he's found in this compromising position on her Mita, and that's the final straw. After trying to get his composure and regain his calm, he sees this scene. Hadavar yatsa mipia amelach ufnei Haman kavu. As soon as he said this statement, as soon as Haman realized what a compromising position he was in, what the situation looked like, so his face fell. He turned white. Vayomer Charvona, and Charvona echad mina sarisim said ufnei amelach gam hine, right? Hine means what? He means he pointed and he said, look, here is Ha'etz Asher Asa Haman L'Mordechai Asher Divra Tov Al HaMelech Omei Beveis Haman Gavoa Hamishim Amma. He said, look out the window, right? We said the 50 Amma tree, which was built specially so that it could be seen from the base of Melech to give Haman satisfaction. So Charvona points and says, look, there is the tree. And Mordechai, who we just did this big procession showing kavod for Mordechai because he served the king so faithfully, and Haman wanted to kill Mordechai. He adds the more flame to the fire. Vayomer HaMelech tzluhu alav. And at that instant, in his rage, right, with all of the incriminating evidence against Haman all piled together with, again, the fact that it was already decided that the Melech, the rules, regulations were changed, that the Melech could give the psak regarding things that affect him personally, right? So everything was set in place. And again, all the nafochu, that all of the eitzas of Haman to get rid of Vashti, to change the laws, to build the tree, all the plans of Haman all turned against him, that the gzeira was given that he should be hung. Yeah. Very confusing. It could be very, very complicated. It could be that he thought that Haman had designs on Esther based on the fact that he also didn't know that she was a Jew. Right? Words, just like Ahasuerus didn't know, Haman didn't know she was a Jew either. So it could be the two simultaneously. On the one hand, he thought that there was a personal relationship between Haman and Esther, and even though Haman was the one who was plotting against the Jews.
He just revealed that she was Jewish and that he was trying to kill
her. Right. Okay, that if there was something going on, so he wouldn't necessarily, just because he finds out, that doesn't mean he's going to change his relationship to her. Okay, it doesn't even have to be rational. The point is that there's all these, Ahasuerus is just brewing with all this confusion and suspicion and right, he thinks that Haman's trying to take the Malchus, trying to take the queen, he's trying to, all this stuff, that all builds into this final decision. That's it, get rid of Haman. Okay, he's turning against Mordechai, who Mordechai is faithful, all these things, that all, everything gathers together to make this snap decision against Haman. Okay. Now, we're still not out of the woods, right? Because it's very nice that Haman is killed and Esther is saved. But that's Esther herself. But Ahasuerus himself wanted to kill the Jews. So who says that all of a sudden he's going to become a Jew lover? Okay? Vayomahu nasan amelach Ahasuerus Esther amalka Esther Beis Haman, Surer HaYehudim. So he gave over possession of the house of Haman to Esther. Umordechai Bali Tnei HaMelech, Ki Higida Esther Ma'ula. So now she revealed that he was actually related to her, and therefore Ahasuerus started showing even more kavod to Mordechai, that he was brought to be the direct servant of the king. Vayasar HaMelech Es Tabato. Share Havir Mehaman Vayinahu Mordechai. Okay, so we see how Ahasuerus, that he just got his signet ring back from Haman, and what's the first thing he does? He goes and gives it over to Mordecai. In other words, he's not a micromanager. He has his man, he puts him in charge, you take care of things. I'm you know, sitting in the background. Okay, so now Mordecai is his top advisor, he's going to take charge. Vatasim Esther asked Mordecai al Beis Haman, she put Mordecai in charge of Beis Haman. Vatosef Esther, Vatidaber lifnei Amelech, Vatipo lifnei Raglav. So, but Esther was still concerned. But that, what's going to be with the rest of Klal Yisrael? So she went and she fell before before the king, and she cried and she pleaded with him, Lahavir es Ras Haman, to pass over, to take away the evil decree of Haman Hagagi, Beis Machshavto Asher Chashav Al Yehudim, to take away his plot against the Jews. Vayoshen Amel Esther Ace Shavit Azav, again, he needed to hold out the Shavit Azav to show that she still found favor in his eyes. Vatakam Esther, Vatamud Litnei Melech, she stood up in front of him. Vatomer, Imal Melech Tov, V'im Matzasi Chein Lefanav, V'chasher Adavar Litnei Melech, V'tov Ani Be'enav. Again, she builds up everything based on her own relationship with Ahasuerus. If you care about me, if I find favor in your eyes, Yikasev Lahashiv Es Hasfarim Lachshev Es Haman Ben Abdas Agagi, Asher Kasev La'abed Es HaYehudim Asher Bechol Medinos Hamel. So, if you care about me, my personal request is to retract these evil decrees that Haman has made to destroy the Jews. Ki Echacha Uchal V'Raisi Bara Asher Yimtza Es Ami Ve'Echacha Uchal V'Raisi Ba'avden Moladiti. Because how can I sit by and watch the destruction of my nation? So, I'm asking you for as a personal favor, even though you might not like the Jews, but for me, will you save the Jews? So he answered to Esther and Mordecai. The Gra points out, where did Mordecai come from? Right? Didn't say that Mordecai was there. It says that she went and prostrated herself and supplicated in front of the king. Where did Mordecai come from? So the Gra points out that we're going to see that Ahasuerus had some bad news to break to Esther. That it's not so simple like she thinks, that we're just going to recall the decrees and everything's going to be fine and dandy. So the Gra says that he called in Mordecai to give her moral support. He said he was afraid that she was going to break down and start crying again, and he couldn't stand all this womanly emotional stuff. So he brought in Mordecai that he should give her some emotional support and keep her stable when she hears the difficulty that they still face. So he tells them, Hinei Beis Haman Nasati Esther. Says, okay, I gave over the Beis Haman to Esther, I put her in charge, but also, Teloites, we already got rid of Haman, great, Al Asher Shalach Yadu by Yehudim, we took revenge that he wanted to kill the Jews. Ve'atem Kisu Al Yehudim Ketov Ve'neichem. He says, you know what, you can write whatever Igera you want about on behalf of the Jews. B'Shem HaMelech, V'Chigmu B'Kabalas HaMelech, you can write it in the name of the Melech, and you can sign it with my signature ring. Kiksav Asher Nichtav B'Shem HaMelech, V'Nachtam B'Das HaMelech, HaMelech in Lashiv. But you should know that a message that's been sent out in the name of the king, it can't be taken back. Okay? In other words, he told them, it's not so simple. We can't just send a message saying, oh, that royal edict that we made last time, it was a mistake. Forget about that one. Because there was a law that a royal edict can never be retracted. So what's the best I could do? The best I could do is, I'll tell you, you can write your own counter-edict to say that the Jews can defend themselves. But we can't just erase the original edict. Vayikaru sofer ha-melech ba'es ahi b'chodesh ha-shlishi hu chodesh sivan b'shlosha v'esrin bo. Okay, in the third month, one second, yeah. Okay, so I lost the cheshbon, but there was a long delay. The whole thing happened was in Nisan, right? It was in Nisan when the whole climax happened. So now it's Chodesh Sivan, so it's like 2 months later. So the question is, why did they wait the extra 2 months? Why didn't they send the messengers right away? So the Gra says that what they did was like this. We're going to see that they sent the second message with the same messengers that brought the first message. Because since the messengers were going to be contradictory, they knew people were going to be confused, and they didn't want people to think that the first message took priority over the second message. They didn't want people to think the second was a fake. So they waited until the original messengers returned, and then they sent them out, the same messengers with the second message, so that people would realize that the second one was override, was meant to override the previous message. Yeah.
But why did they wait 2 months?
They were waiting for the first message, the messengers who went to take the original decree to come back. Okay? So, yeah. The first, no, the Haman was killed in Nisan. The original decree was already, was way back in, was it? No, the first decree when, I forget the chronology, we'll have to go back and check the dates. Whoa, we didn't see what day. Well, let's see. Okay, so they sent out, now that they have the original runners, they're sending out with the second message. So they sent it to all 127 nations, each one in their language. And this one also went to the Jews, right? The other ones, they didn't send messages to the Jews because the Jews were the ones who they were trying to destroy. But here, in addition to the other 127, the Jews had a chashivus. They were he who accepted into the United Nations that they also got their own letter. Okay, so they sent it. This time they sent it on horseback. That these were even the fastest messengers that they could send. Asher nasan hamelach laYehudim, asher b'chol yom ba'ir lihikayel v'lamod al nasha. Okay, so the message was not to take away the original decree, but that the Jews had the right to defend themselves, that they could gather together and defend themselves. Lahashmi la'arug la'abed as kol chel am u'medina hatzarim osam taf v'nashim, to destroy all of the nations that oppress them, including the taf v'nashim. Okay, now you'll notice the striking resemblance to the messages that Haman sent. Okay, so the Gra explains that he sent the message in exactly the same nusach to give people the impression that the original message was a mistake. Now, even though he couldn't retract the original message, but he sent the exact same nusach as if it was just a typo. That it said that the first message said to kill the Jews. Oh no, it doesn't mean the Jews. It means to kill the people who oppress the Jews. But it's the exact same lashonos of lahashmi lahar la'abed tafinashim. So the people say, oh, it's the same message. They just made a typo, and this is the corrected version of the message. Ushlalama bozen, to take the spoils, also patterned after the original leader. Biyom echad b'chol midinos ha'melech ha'chashverosh b'shlosha asar l'chodesh shnei masar hu chodesh adar, the 13th day. V'shegen ha'ksav v'inasem das b'chol medina u'medina galui l'chol ha'amim v'lios ha'yehudim asim v'yom hazeh l'inakei m'ayveh. Okay, and then that was the secret message, and the open message that was put on all the bulletin boards, that there all it ever said was that people should be ready for the 13th. So they just filled in that the Jews should be ready for the 13th. Now, the other people didn't know that the Jews were ever supposed to be destroyed, so all they needed to do there was simply to put in that the Jews are the ones who are supposed to prepare for the 13th, because they're the ones who are going to be killing their enemies. Haratzim rochvei harechesh ha'achash teranim yatsu mevoalim u'duchufim bidvar amel. They rushed as urgently as possible. Va'adas nidna b'shushan ha'bira. And immediately, the edict was told in Shushan ha'bira that the Jews were going to be able to defend themselves. Yeah?
Well, they have to do it so fast as Sima.
You're saying they still had some time. The chashash was, it seems, that they were afraid of pogroms, that even before the date came, they were worried that if they thought that there was an edict against the Jews, the people would preempt it.
The Jews needed a letter to tell themselves they could defend themselves?
They needed it to be made legal. You know, otherwise they could be arrested for carrying weapons. I don't know. They couldn't gather together. They couldn't set up fortresses. Whatever it was. Also, there's an implication. It matters once people know what the das of the melech is. Even if there's still an edict on the books, if people see that the melech wants the Jews to defend themselves, so then they're gonna be intimidated. Okay. So Mordechai yatzav min lifnei hamelech v'levush malchus chelas v'chor v'atera zav gedola. He went out wearing kingly clothes, right? This replacing his sackcloth and ashes. Now he saw that the salvation of Klal Yisrael was imminent, and he was able to dress in a covetic manner. Okay, v'tachrit chutz v'argaman describing all the fancy clothing. The Chazal, the Gra explains that this is all describing. It's not just describing pretty clothes. It's describing that he went out wearing talis and tefillin. Each of these is Murami, so the different aspects of talis and tefillin. So the idea was that he could take pride in being a Jew. In other words, even though he always was proud of being a Jew, it means that now he could go out in public and openly show his Judaism and take cover from that. V'ha'ir Shushan Salah v'Samecha, in the city of Shushan was joyous. V'ha'irim Aisa Ora v'Simcha v'Sasun v'Yikar, the Jews were filled with light and joy and even more extreme joy and kavod. Chazal say that these all correspond to that Ora is connected to Torah and Simcha is Yom Tov and Sasam is Mila. That each one of these is saying that they were miskazik in mitzvos, that they were able to go back and do mitzvos and have pride in being Jewish publicly. Ubechol medina umedina ubechol yir vayir makom asher dvar amal v'dasu magia simcha v'sasam l'yehudim mishta v'yom tov v'rabi me'am aretz misi adim kinafal pachad hayehudim aleihem, that as the decree went out, every place that found out had tremendous celebrations, and many of the goyim misi adim. Okay, the strange lashon. The normal lashon you would expect would be mit gairim, were converted, right? So the Gra explains that they couldn't convert because there's a din that we don't accept converts in a time when Klal Yisrael is powerful. Because when Klal Yisrael is powerful, we assume that the goyim are not converting l'shem shemayim; they're only doing it out because they think that it's beneficial to be Jewish, and therefore we don't accept gairim at such times. So the Gra explains that they were midyahadim, is they were doing things kosher style. They were doing things Jewish style. They started eating bagels and lox and having schnapps, right? So they started doing things Jewish style, even though they weren't actually accepted as gerim. But it was the cool thing, learning Kabbalah, right? Being it was the in thing to be Jewish. Ube shnei masar chodesh hu chodesh adar b'shlosha asar yom, when the day came. Asher Higia Dvar HaMelech V'daso Le'ah. So it's the day that the edict came to be done. Bayom Asher Sibru Oyvei HaYehudim Lishlot Bahem. On the day that the enemies of the Jews thought to rule over the Jews, V'Na'afochu, right, the whole theme of the Megillah, Na'afochu was turned around. Asher Yishlotu HaYehudim Hema B'Sonim. That the Jews ruled over their enemies. Okay, the Gra points out the difference between an oyev and a sone, that an oyev is someone who's an active enemy who tries to kill you, that they were the ones who wanted to actually kill the Jews, and the sonim are people who just hate the Jews but don't actually just wait in the anti-Semites, they don't actually take action against the Jews. So the Jews, not only were they saved from the oyevim, but they also ruled over their enemies. That no one even stood against them because everyone was afraid of them. In other words, even though the decree was still on the books that you could kill Jews, but everyone understood that Mordechai was running the show now and that Achashverosh was supporting the Jewish resistance, and therefore no one had the guts to stand up against the Jews. The Kol Sarei Medinos va'achashdar benim va'pachos v'osei ha'molacha asher l'melch minazim es ha'yudim. All the nobility and the royal ministers in each country all gave kavod to the Jews. Ki nafal pachan Mordechai aleim, because they were all afraid of Mordechai because they saw that he had the signet ring and he was the one who was running things for the king. Ki gadol Mordechai v'veis ha'melch v'shamo holech b'chol ha'medinos, that he became great in the king's house and his reputation spread. Ki aish Mordechai holech begadol, that he kept becoming more and more powerful. Vayaku ha'yehudim b'chol oyveihem, the Jews killed their enemies. Again, the enemies, the oyvim who tried to kill them, they killed makas herig b'cherev v'avadan. Okay, they killed them. So it says cherev is that first they wounded them. The Gra explains that first they wanted them to suffer, then they herig, then they killed them. V'avadan, then they destroyed the bodies. And it's interesting, he says that the reason they destroy the bodies is that there shouldn't be evidence. In other words, they know that today is their day and everything's are going in their favor and they can kill the goyim. But they know that 50, you know, 10, 20, 50 years down the road, everyone's going to look back and say, oh, the Jews, they massacred all the enemies. And therefore, they wanted to erase any trace of it, that there shouldn't be a counter-reaction years later against the Jews. Vayasu b'soneim kirtzonim. They did to their enemies what they wanted to do to them. So again, the main punishment, the oyvim, the people who actively tried to attack them, they killed, and the latent anti-Semites, they just turned against them and oppressed them, but it doesn't say explicitly that they actually killed the son. Uveshushan abira hargu ayudin ba'abe chamesh meos ish. In Shushan, they killed 500 people of Ace, Parshandas of Ace, Belf of Ace, Saft of Ace, Poras of Ace, Adalia of Ace, Aridas of Ace, Parmast of Ace, Arisai of Ace, Aridai of Ace, Vaizasa, and I didn't get anyone breath, but sorry, I'm not a Valkyrie. Okay, Aseres, Bnei Haman, so they killed the 10 sons of Haman, Ben Abdas, the Tzor, Ayudim, Haragu, Uvabiza, Lo Shalchu Yadam, but they didn't take the spoils to show that they were not doing it for their own personal gain, but just L'shem Shemayim.
Why? Yeah. Why? I don't know.
Why that? Why that? Sounds like 10. I don't know. Somewhere really 10. Like, huh? Really okay. Vayomahu ba mispar harugin b'shushan abira lifnei amelach. That day they brought a report to the king of how many people were killed in Shushan. Vayomer. Hamel Glaster Amalka Bishushan Abira Hargwa Yudim Ba'abit Chamesh Moz Ish Beis Aseres Bnei Haman. So he reported to Esther the good news that they killed 500 people and the 10 sons of Haman. Bishar Medina Samel Ne'asu, right? They didn't have cell phones, right? They didn't get the reports right live on CNN. They said, we can only imagine what's going on in all of the distant places. Uma Sheila Seich V'Yinasim Lach And he said, even after I've done all these things for you, I'm still willing to fulfill your wishes. If there's anything else that you want, I'm willing to do that. So she asked, if you're willing to do me another favor, what I would like is that in Shushan, that tomorrow they should do again like they did today, that they should continue killing the Jews, the enemies of the Jews. And I want them to hang the 10 sons of Haman on a tree. Okay, so now, why was this so important? What was the significance of continuing to kill the enemies on the 15th? And what's the point of hanging the 10 sons, especially since we said that they're already dead, right? So presumably that means to hang their dead bodies, but what's the point of that? Okay, so now the Gra explains that the point of the 15th was that she wanted to remove any lack of ambiguity. Okay, in other words, any doubt that people still had that maybe there was a confusion about the two edicts and which one was really the Iker and which one maybe really was the other way. Maybe they were supposed to kill the Jews. So what she wanted was that people should see that there was an extra day that the king gave in Shushan, an extra day to kill the Goyim, to show that that was his real ratzon, that it was his real ratzon was that the Jews should kill their enemies, okay, and to specifically to hang the sons of Haman was a public display of the fact that Ahasuerus was supporting the destruction of the enemies of the Jews. Okay, and there's an emphasis, the Gra points out, that Davka in the walled cities was where it was essential that the second day happened. Because in all the villages and stuff, there they never knew that the Jews were supposed to be killed. In the other villages, they only saw the public decrees. They never knew that the Jews were supposed to be killed. It was in the big cities where the rulers were that they got the special messages that knew that there was an original message to kill the Jews. And therefore, Davka in the cities, it was more necessary to reveal the fact that that Ahasuerus really supported the Jews. Vayomer HaMelech leHe'asos came v'tinas in das b'shushan ve'es aseres b'nei Haman tol. So he authorized this also, that they should continue killing the enemies and they should hang up the bodies of the b'nei Haman. Vayikol leYehudim asher b'shushan gam v'yom ha'arba'asar v'chodesh adar v'yargu b'shushan shlosh me'os ish. They killed another 300 people v'abiza v'shalchu as yadam. Ushara Yehudim Asher B'Mdinos HaMelech Nikalu Ba'amod Al Nashem. They stood together to protect themselves. We see here again a lashon of singular Amud, they stood together, ki isha chad b'leva chad, right, as one person, they had achdus, and that's how they were able to defend themselves. V'noach me'oiveyam, v'harog b'sonem, they had peace from their enemies, v'harog b'sonem, chamisha v'shivim elef. 75,000, uvabiza lo shalchu as yadam, and there also they didn't take the spoils. B'yom shlosha asar l'chodesh adar, v'noach v'arba asar bo, v'asososo yom mishta v'simcha. So in the outlying areas, the killing of the enemies was all on the 13th, and the 14th was already a day of celebration. Yeah.
Yeah. How can you say that inside the walled cities it was because of the decree? Because she only asked for Shusha, not for all the walled cities.
Right. So it says that the decree originally, the people who knew about the original decree were the people in all of the walled cities. So therefore, the fact that in Shushan they continued killing was the reason why in all the walled cities the people became aware that that Ahasuerus really meant to support the Jews. That all the walled cities was where there was a danger that there would be a backlash and they would turn against the Jews, so they needed the symbol of Shushan to point to show that that was what Ahasuerus wanted. Yeah. Yeah? What? Viharag, what? What are you asking, Senor? What did I do wrong?
They killed the Sonehem, not the...
Oh, here it says they killed the Sonehem. Ah, interesting. Good. Good. Noach me oiveyem viharag besonehem. Okay, I have to think about that. Okay.
Where is it?
Okay, good. I have to think about it.
What is it?
First day. By Yehudim Asher B'Shushan Nikalu B'Shlosha Asar Bo U'Varva Asar Bo. They continued fighting for the 13th and 14th. V'Noach B'Chamisha Asar Bo V'Aso Oso Yom Mishta V'Simcha. They made the 15th the day of rejoicing. Alkein Hayudim HaPrazim Ayoshim Bari HaPrazim Osim Es Yom Arva Asar L'Chodesh Adar Simcha U'Mishta V'Yom Tov. So therefore, in the outlying areas, they celebrate the 14th with Simcha Mishta V'Yom Tov U'Mishloach Manos Ish L'Re'eu. So how do we celebrate? So the Grub points out that connected the four aspects of the destruction that were plotted against us, we celebrate with four aspects. That the Goyim wanted to, Lahashmid, is to destroy the Neshama. So connected that, we have Yom Tov, is that we're mostly mitzvahs. Simcha is connected the ruach that they wanted to take away our life. We are filled with rejoicing. Mishta is to enjoy the physical pleasures of the goof. Okay, so the goof should have pleasure because the goof, there was a gzera also against the goof. And mishloach manos is they wanted to destroy our property, so we use our property also to bring pleasure to people and give mishloach manos. Okay, so connected each of the plots of the Goyim, we celebrate by expressing each of those four kokos, and that's why part of the Indian of Purim is that to have a Mishta, that even the goof should enjoy the physical pleasures of the Mishta.
What was Yom Tov thing?
Yom Tov, we said, was connected the Neshama that by having extra mitzvahs. He said he brings the... What?
It was Yom Tov, Mishta Yom Tov.
Simcha is connected to the ruach, the spirit, the emotions, and Yom Tov is adding more mitzvahs. It brings specifically mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah. They made it into a Yom Tov to celebrate the religion that religiously we were saved from oppression. Vayichtov Mordechai as almost there. Vayichtov. The battery died, right? That's where you have to go. That's okay. Vayichtov Mordechai as hadvarim ha'ela, vayishlach svarim el kol ha'yudim asher b'chol minyos ha'melech ha'chashverosh ha'krovim v'arachokim. So Mordechai wrote out the events, and he sent svarim to all the Jews in all the far places and the close places. L'kayim aleihem. We also ozim as yom arbasar l'chodesh adar as yom chamisha asar bo v'chol shana v'shana, that they should accept upon themselves this yontif to celebrate every year on the 14th and 15th. Kayamim asher nachu b'hamayurim me'ayveim like the days that they were saved from their enemies, v'achodesh asher napach lahem miyagun l'simcha me'evil yodim, and the month that turned from sorrow to joy. And from Evil Yom Tov, this is the Inyan of Mishenichnas Adar Marvin Mesimcha, that the entire month, it says, was turned from sorrow to joy. The Gra explains that when there's a tragic event that's happening in the month, that from the beginning of the month, already you start to feel the sorrow of the event. And therefore, when it turned into a time of Simcha, so the entire month turned into a time of Simcha. Lasos Osam Yemei Mishta V'Simcha U'Mishloach Manos Yishloreu U'Matanos L'Avyonim. And they added in onto the decree that there should also be matanos levyonim, that there should also be tzedaka, so that everyone is can be joyous. The kibel ha-yehudim, again, lashon singular, that in one voice there was no dissension, that all Klal Yisrael together accepted the tzivoy of Mordechai to celebrate Purim. Eis asher hechilu lasos, what they had already begun to celebrate, ve'eis asher kasav Mordechai aleihem, and what Mordechai had instructed them. Okay, now this, the Gra explains that the following is a quote of the letter that Mordechai sent to them. He sent to them the following, because otherwise it seems very redundant. He sent out this message saying, ki Haman ben Amdasa agagi Torah kol Yehudim, chashav al Yehudim la'abdam, Haman wanted to destroy the Jews, v'hibel pur hu agor la'humam la'abdam, that he threw this poor that found the auspicious mazel for destroying Klal Yisrael, b'voa lifnei ha-melech, when it came in front of the melech. Again, here's an obvious one, the melech referring to Hashem, amar im ha-sefer yashuv machshavto, that with the new sefer, it will take away his plot, asher chashav al yudim, which he plotted against the Jews, al rosho, it will turn upside down. Nafoku, that exactly because of his plot, it's turned against him. And now, right, as a result of the decree against the Jews, now they end up ridding themselves of all of their worst enemies. V'talos uvas banav al eitz, and they hung Haman and his sons on the tree. Okay, that was the nusach of the letter that Mordechai sent, telling everyone about the nisim of the of Purim. Al kein karu layamim ha'ela Purim. That's why they chose the name Purim. Al shem ha'pur, because of the pur, because it was such an essential part of the victory that they overcame the mazalos. Al kein al kol dibre ha'igeras ha'zos uma ra'u al kach uma higia aleihem. Based on everything described in this letter and all the events that occurred, kimu v'kiblu, right, famous pasuk. They upheld and they were mekabel, that there was a new Kabbalah, the Torah Miratzon, that without Kafalim Harkigis, that they accepted the Torah Miratzon, and only then could they add new mitzvahs, that you can't accept new mitzvahs until you're happy with, until you're besimcha over the original Torah. So, Kimu v'kiblu, Hayehudim aleihem, va'alzarum va'alko anilvim aleihem, v'lo yavor, lios osim eshnei ayam ma'ela, kichsam v'kizmanim, v'chol shana v'shana, that the 2 days are days of simcha, the 14th and the 15th, and again, like we said, that all walled cities celebrate the 15th because they all needed the victory, the extra victory of the 15th to show that the real ratzon of the king was to support the Jews. Vayam na'ela, niskar v'nasim b'chol dor v'dor, mishpacha mishpacha, medina medina v'ir v'ir, that every family in every country celebrates Purim in every generation. V'yemei ha'Purim na'ela, lo yavu mitocha yehudim v'zichrom, lo yasuf mizarum, that the Chag of Purim will never end, that there will always celebrate Purim. Again, just like the Megillah, it's brought also a Gavi Purim, that even in Yemos Mashiach, that we'll continue celebrating Purim. V'tichtov Esther ha-malka bas avichayel Mordechai ha-yudi es kol tokef l'kayim es igiras ha-purim azos ha-shenis. So Esther and Mordechai together gave their authority to this letter sending out, declaring the Chag of Purim. V'yishlach svarim el kol ha-yehudim al shav v'asrim u'mei ha-medina malchus ha-chashverush divrei shalom v'emes. They sent out to all of the nations divrei shalom v'emes. Divrei shalom. One second. There we go. I lost it. Yeah, I'm sorry. So he says the divrei shalom. It says is the story of the Megillah, and Emes is the halacha, is the dinim that they were mekadal on themselves. L'kayim es yimei apurim ha'ela, v'zmaneim kasher kiyam aleyam Mordechai ha'yehudi v'esra ha'malka v'kasher kimu al nafsham v'al zaram, that like it had been decreed by Mordechai and Esther, and like Klal Yisrael had accepted the decree, it was a decree that was accepted by Rav Klal Yisrael, and therefore became binding. Dibrei atzomos v'zakasam, including the tzomos, the tainus Esther, was also accepted. Umam ar Esther kiyam dibrei hapurim ha'ela v'nichta v'sefer, and based on the command of Esther, the Dibrei Purim and the Sefer of the Megillah were accepted, and the Megillah was accepted as part of Kisvei HaKodesh. It was accepted as part of Tanakh, as being a part of Torah Shabbat. Vayasim al Melech HaKashverush Mas al Haaretz V'Yayam. And now, after the royal coffers had been expended with all of his largesse, giving all of his gifts, throughout the Megillah, now he starts to gather taxes. He feels confident in his malchus. He starts collecting money to build up the malchus. V'chol maaseh takfo u'gvuraso. All of the description of the power and glory of Mordechai, u'parshas gedulas Mordechai asher gilu ha'melech, that he was raised up. Halohim tzuvim al sefer divrei hayamim u'malchei madei ha'paras. That, of course, all the historical information about Mordechai's greatness as a political leader in Paras U'Madai, that you can look up the history books of Paras U'Madai. That's not our Indian. We're looking only about what's Nogea to Klal Yisrael. Ki Mordechai Yehudi Mishna Lamelech, he became the second in command to the Melech HaChashverus. V'gadol HaYehudim, he was great among the Yehudim. V'ratzoi L'rov Echav, he was beloved by Rov Echav. The Chazal say that nothing is ever perfect. There's always going to be the dissenter, the mocker, that even Mordechai wasn't 100% accepted. There were people who had tainas on him, but he was accepted by Klal Yisrael. Doresh Tov Lamo, he was a spokesman on behalf of his nation. He did the PR on behalf of Klal Yisrael. V'dover shalom l'chol zaro, and he was full of love for all Jews. That was the achdus that he brought to Klal Yisrael that was essential in bringing the Hatzalah. And the Gra points out that the Megillah ends with the word shalom, that many of the Sivrei Kodesh end with the word shalom, because the Gemara says that Ein Kli Mafzik Bracha El Shalom, that the ultimate midah that makes everything else final and gives kium to all the other good things is the midah of shalom. That's why we find that in Shmona Esrei, in Birchas Kohanim, in the Mishnayos, that all these things end with shalom. So the Megillah also closes with Divrei Shalom to show that that's the Kli Mafzik Bracha, that when there's shalom among Klal Yisrael, that ensures the salvation of Klal Yisrael.
Sing my song. I'm going to make props on the phone.